The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised. Dull.
Egon.
Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
Hello everyone, it's 4am once again, and that means it's time for the 4am podcast, where me and my friends watch movies from our past and see how they hold up to our older, more cynical selves. I am your host as always, Tony. Joining me today is...
Brian.
Too hot to handle, and conversely, too cold to hold.
Joe.
All right. Oh boy. So, yeah, I'm just already derailed.
Tony, I guess you're just going to have to take control.
Yeah,
I am. Today we did Ghostbusters 2 from 1989, directed by Ivan Reitman, who brought us Meatballs, Stripes, Kindergarten Cop.
Those Junior, on the list, I know they are.
Ball Stripes.
Most of them, I'm sure.
Stripes, I like Stripes.
Meat Stripes.
He also did the first Meat Ghostbusters shit. And Twins. And is still oddly currently being listed for producing triplets, as if that's still a thing that's going to happen. So.
Wouldn't it be?
Wait. Same universe, Arnold and Danny triplets? Like,
oh, yeah.
That was a thing?
That was a thing.
Who would be the third one?
Will Ferrell, calling it now.
Kevin Hart.
Oh, no.
Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
This was planned a long time ago, folks, so you want to try that again?
Billy Crystal.
Some of you are close, though.
Eddie Murphy.
There you go.
All right.
Because that's what this was missing, Eddie Murphy. Mm-hmm. Who actually?
In all fairness, there was a point where, like, that Murphy money would have...
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But that's the thing. This goes back... This is like... Hollywood, you know, myth at this point. This goes back to when you wanted Eddie Murphy in a movie. You wanted Schwarzenegger in a movie. You wanted Danny DeVito in a movie. Like,
I want all those things now.
Well,
granted, Murphy bucks don't go as far as they used to. Yeah. The stock is dropping.
Doesn't that, like, detract money from what the film's going to make now?
Spend five Murphy bucks to get one Jeffrey dollar.
Yeah.
I mean, it's true. It's been a long time since I've had a good movie. For every Beverly Hills Cop, you get five Haunted Mansions or...
Thousand Words?
Pluto... No, Pluto Nash,
yeah, it was terrible.
No, which one? Oh, Meteor Man was Robert Townsend?
Yes.
That was a whole different...
I get those two movies mixed up all the time because they're both...
Townsend had a media empire. I mean, granted, empire is a strong word. But, but he had a whole media thing going. Like,
yeah, so did Darth Vader. Yeah.
I will say, in Rob's defense, the cover art was very similar to those movies, making Meteor Man look like the direct-to-video ripoff of Adventures of Pluto
Nash. I was just thinking catastrophic space movies.
That too. Like,
that's all I thought.
But both had them on the cover in like some kind of superhero type outfit and whatever. But yeah, so what's your personal history with this movie, Brian?
As a kid, I loved this movie. I'm pretty sure I saw it in the theaters, and my sister took me, I think. But yeah, you know, as a kid, like, this was my shit. You know, I remember watching a TV show and then like watching this movie, and whenever it came on TV, I'd watch it. And you know, Bobby Brown would come on, and we'd dance, dancing to his version of the Ghostbusters song. So I remember all that shit. Like, yeah.
Rob,
I'm pretty much the same as Brian's. Well, it's good. Exchange sister for parents. Yeah, I saw it in theaters, had the soundtrack on cassette, and it was a very large part of my 9-year-old life.
Hi, Joe.
This movie was one of the few movies where I was absolutely consumed with terror at one part of it, such that I think I had to leave the movie theater.
The Pink Slide?
Winston.
Winston did it to me. And as such, I think up until probably in my mid-20s, I could not watch that scene only because I remembered the fear that I felt.
Wow.
Even though it's not that scary of a scene, but it just hit right at that magical moment in my 9-year-old development.
The same with the critters. Under the stairs scene for me. So. Mm-hmm.
And also, to be fair, in this rather tame movie.
Yeah, it's real out of place.
That's real frightening for this. But
it is the scariest part of it.
Yeah. And no surprise, my history is similar to Rob's. Definitely saw this in theater, was a big fan of Ghostbusters, was a big fan of the cartoon. I was eager to see this. Super excited, super loved it. Rented it, I'm sure, multiple times. Watched it numerous times. It was a big part of my childhood. Let's get into a brief history of this movie in itself. Now, obviously, everyone has heard the stories about how much Bill Murray didn't want to do any of this afterwards. After the first movie, I should say.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, he's the reason we never got a third one. Like, he was a big holdout. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be done with this character. He didn't want to do this one either. There were also studio issues. I guess the studio head hated all the movies prior to him getting hired, including Ghostbusters, and like poo-pooed all that until like he got fired or something, and the new studio head came in and was like, Ghostbusters, that's hot, we need to make a new movie for it now, and pressured them all into doing this, basically just tossing a bunch of money their way. Bill Murray, though, did state that this movie in particular disappointed him, saying that it relied too heavy on special effects, saying, quote, there was too much slime and not enough us. As mentioned, the studio heads, they really got into this movie and wanted to make certain changes to try and fit in more with the popularity of the real Ghostbusters. So you get lots of things like Janine's total redesign there to fit more with the cartoon. Slimer even had a bit of a makeover to fit more with the cartoon.
Slimer looked exactly the same to me.
No, but how he acted, though, is
it was more.
Well, his actions, too, but the look as well. He was obviously more, friendly, puppetish, because, mm-hmm. That's a thing.
They used a brighter green on his puppet this time.
Yeah, that's fair. There's also, keeping in line with the Ghostbuster tradition, there's a whole bunch of cut scenes, including a whole storyline where Louis Tully wanted to prove himself as one of the Ghostbusters, so like he would fight Slimer, who was in fact haunting the firehouse there. And like we saw a bit with him eating his lunch. Apparently, that happened several times. That a whole fight scene with the two of them. But all that remains is the one thing of him eating his lunch and then him and the bus. So
hey, thanks for cutting all that out.
I kind of want to see it though. Like on the DVD, I would want to see that stuff.
Yeah, like but separately. You don't want to watch that during the movie.
Similarly, there's also when Ray gets possessed early on, mm-hmm. by the painting, just staring and drooling.
He gets a crazy boner.
He does, and then he goes and starts driving like a madman, almost killing the Ghostbusters. Which they throw in one of the montages. You just see him driving all crazy and. The other Ghostbusters kind of have a weird reaction to it. If that scene kind of stuck out in that montage,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's because he's actually supposed to be possessed and trying to kill them.
See, the studio heads wanted that to be more in line with the old Atari video game where everything in the world is trying to crash into you while you're driving. And you have to pay for all the damages.
Somewhere there is like Donkey Kong throwing barrels at your car for no apparent reason. I mentioned some of the redesigns to fit with the cartoon, which included some of the monster designs, which is why we get like a Rancor and shit, and the Scolari brothers, which were reportedly based on the Blues Brothers, which is why you get the tall, thin one, the fat one. Mm-hmm. And
I'm pretty sure they were just repainted Muppet Babies.
What the fuck Muppet Babies did you grow up with?
Beaker and Bunsen, tall and fat one.
Yeah, I'm saying.
Well, that's a classic pairing.
Yeah.
Laurel and Hardy, whatever.
But also, the role of Viggo himself, Wilhelm von Humsburg,
mm-hmm.
Here.
Triple H?
He was not told that he was going to be dubbed over by Max von Sydow. Wow. Until he saw it during the premiere, to which he walked out promptly. Way to go, guys.
Why they don't like my English.
And finally, Peter McNichol originally was given a much smaller part as just a lackey named Jason, but he decided that didn't really work. He didn't like the sound of it or whatever. So he decided to expand on the character a little more.
Didn't he write a whole backstory for it?
He sure did. And he even drew the flag for,
State countries from?
Yeah, Carpathia, which featured a snake stepping on a man. Which...
With what?
Exactly. I don't know.
One big beefy arm.
Yeah.
or leg, I guess.
But I like, he, on his own accord, came up with his character, the name, the accent, a whole backstory of Carpathia.
He's a leper. He's a leper. Yeah.
He's consummate beast, Lord.
He's stepping on the man because he's wearing like the Mario Brothers 3 shoe. And the snakes just coiled up inside there.
I'd believe it.
The ass is for socks.
All right. So, anyone want to guess at how much money this movie cost to make?
It's like $55 million, right? Was something...
I'm going to go with 60 if he's saying 55.
I guess I'll go under. I'll do the 40.
Wow, still all over. It was 37.
Wow. Really? Oh, okay.
Yeah. So this one like cost a shit ton of money for what it was.
And I guess it's still in the 80s.
Yeah.
I want to guess at how much it made.
All of the money.
$250. That's in millions of dollars.
All of the money in a box. In one of those traps, the ghost trap. Okay, serious number. I'll say 200.
I will say 250 and $1.
736 quadrillion Murphy bucks.
It's a nice try, Brian. But no, it goes to Joe. It was 215.
Oh,
nice.
Okay. Close. He was at 200, but then Joe said it. So.
Yeah, I liked what you were doing there, but you shouldn't have upped Rob. You should have upped Joe, and you would have had it.
Now, I'm at a bit of a moral crossroads here. I'm trying to decide whether I love the four of us enough to crack open a fresh case of Ecto Cooler for this occasion.
I would not be disappointed if I didn't get any Ecto Cooler.
I mean, it's up to you. Like,
it is. Is it just cold? Sugar and orange
it's
juice.
It's not cold.
Okay.
It's been sitting.
It'll help me know it's not cold because it's hot in here.
Yeah, I don't know.
If we do Ghostbusters,
let's put like some mini Lego ice cubes in it. Ice cubes.
No, I lied. Here it is, guys. I'm putting it down in front of all of you.
Oh, thanks. Thank you, Rob.
Crack it open and have a big gulp, everybody.
Mmm, it's yeah, so delicious. Crack it open.
Let's get that crack on the on the recorder here.
Mm-hmm. He didn't put down a goddamn thing.
You don't pretend you love us, Rob. Not for our audience. They don't need your lies.
Well, what have I been doing for 122 episodes?
Yeah, for pretends.
Well, Rob's not capable of love.
Yeah. This is you pretending
to another human being, I should say. To a robot or a dinosaur, that's different.
Wow. Well, robot dinosaur.
Oh, man. That's...
Now you're talking.
Boner alert.
Pound town.
So.
Sean Robert.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So, where'd that money go, Joe?
A bunch of people you never heard of.
A bunch of diamonds in order to triple filter vodka.
So you got Bill Murray as Dr. Peter Venkman, Dan Aykroyd as Dr. Raymond Stantz, Sigourney Weaver as Dana Barrett, Harold Ramis as Dr. Egon Spengler, Ernie Hudson as Winston Zedmore, Rick Moranis as Louis Tully, Annie Potts as Janine Melnitz, and Peter McNichol as Dr. Janosch Poha? I forget how you pronounce
it. I think it was Poha.
Time.
Yeah.
And Bobby Brown.
That was Bobby Brown with his part with the mayor's yes. Okay, I was right.
Sure was. All right, so let's just dive into this. We're starting, it's 5 years later, and it is, in fact, 5 years later from when the original movie was released. So that's fitting. And apparently the whole world has just lost their ever-loving minds and no longer believes that any of this really happened.
Like, they were that's fucking the there. I don't get.
Well, here's the thing. After the events of, you know, Zool and all that, Will Smith, Tommy Lee Jones roll up.
Neuralized everybody.
Neuralized everybody. Nobody remembers.
Didn't make them forget the Ghostbusters, though. Made just everybody think they're a bunch of idiots.
Well, because Ghostbusters still running their commercials on TV.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's that.
But wait, maybe I'm forgetting this, but I believe to get the whole city, they needed to use the neuralizer.
In the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah. So wouldn't they have noticed that later on when they were in the
No,
city?
That's the first thing to explode when they goo it.
Yeah.
The ghost goo is like, get this out of here.
His story's checking out.
Yeah. We're
All right. Well, that's the only thing that makes sense because, yeah, everyone's just like, you know, you guys are crap. You know, this is all a scam. It's like, how the hell did they convince like whole city blocks to believe a giant marshmallow stepped on your church and broke everything?
That's
how do you clean up that much marshmallow?
That's Lady Liberty. You're gonna fill that giant French woman with your viscous goo. First thing she's doing is getting rid of that forget me now.
I knew it was gonna go there. I didn't know it was gonna go there that soon.
Yeah, that's.
I'm gonna go.
All right, listen.
Refill my ecto cooler. I mean,
while you're speaking of filling ladies with your vistic goo,
vistic goo.
Fill it.
Ron Jeremy was there, right? He saw this shit happen. Don't tell me it didn't happen. He saw it happen.
He supplied some of the goo.
So, speaking of goo, slime's leaking out of the sidewalk.
Yes.
Nice pink slime.
This pink slime. Mm-hmm. Which Dana Barrett just kind of walks through.
Yep, runs it over with her baby carriage.
Like you do. Mm-hmm. And like she stops to talk to a guy, and her baby carriage just kind of takes off on her.
This thing's hauling ass.
Yeah. For real.
But also, like, it's just, like, I don't know. She's just a New terrible York, parent.
Not, no one does a goddamn thing to stop one this. Person. That one person. In fairness, in New York at this time, if you were to catch the baby carriage in this scenario, that mother would come over and kick your ass for touching her baby.
Right. Like, but it was like dodging traffic and shit. Like
mm-hmm.
it was like someone was actually moving it, not just on its own.
I'm kind of surprised nobody like just snatched that baby up,
word,
like and sold it. Just grab it and throw it on a blanket on a corner. Be like, yeah, we got watches, DVDs, possessed and baby. This baby. It's 100% American made baby.
So but yeah. So she was like, Let me go see my old friends mm-hmm. about what the fuck just happened.
Well, after she catches the baby carriage, though, you get that signature startup of the theme music.
Yep.
And I gotta say, you're every time immediately back.
Yeah, there. Unfortunately, it only lasts for 10 seconds.
Yeah, but just that first part for how it starts up
yeah,
immediately brings me back. But yeah, now she's going to... No. This is when we get the Ecto-1s on the scene.
Yeah.
Ecto-1's seen some better days.
Yeah, it's spitting some terrible smoke out of its anus.
But you're thinking like, oh, they're
gonna
go bust some ghosts right now. Like, yeah.
Right, yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
They suit up.
It's Ray and Winston.
Mm-hmm.
Now, one area where I will fault them, I know they're on tough times, but nuclear reactor on your back you're bringing to a birthday party?
Those have to be props.
I hope so.
Nope. No,
or at least like also, deactivated. Like,
why haven't you sold one of those to pay the bills?
Yeah, literally one of those.
One of those.
I mean, like real talk. If you could build one that small,
yep,
you should be wealthy.
It's like an arc reactor.
Yeah. Like,
not to mention, if I remember how these work, according to the flavor text, they fire Higgs boson particles at the ectoplasmic being. Turning it from energy into matter to allow it to actually be manipulated by the beams and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just firing God particles everywhere. Like, that's, you know, it took CERN, like, that huge underground super collider to discover one. So, yeah, you'd make a pretty good amount of money with that.
Yeah.
Tony Stark built one of these in a cave with a bunch of scraps.
They'll get me started on that one. Like.
Yeah, hand me that IKEA lamp. I'm going to make a self-sustaining power source right now.
That's what makes him brilliant.
Speaking of.
Right. I loved, I know we're off subject, but I loved how everyone in that movie was just like, you mean we're not going to make weapons anymore? We're going to make this free infinite energy thing?
Like, are you still employed? Then what's your problem?
Yeah, like, you want to make all of the money? Because, you know, weapons we can sell to some militaries. This thing we could literally sell to everyone.
Plus, there's the intel. Just once, though.
Just once.
Just once.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But everyone's a pretty big customer. Everyone buys a lot.
True.
Yeah. Pretty much, like, there's got to be side benefits aside from money. Like,
Someone's got to maintain them.
I would also assume if he's doing shit like that, he's building other things, like, you know, whatever the next iPhone is or some shit. Like, I don't know if anyone else had that hologram computer before him.
I mean, Tony Stark is not in this film.
No.
That I'm aware of.
Bottom line is, why are you still walking around with a nuclear reactor on your back?
at a children's to birthday a kid's party.
Yeah. Why not?
But he's mad meta because, like, they sing their theme song. Mm-hmm. They sing it in the kids' party. Like, that means it exists.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
By some shitty Marvel logic, that's what I heard someone say. Because the song exists in a movie that's from outside the movie, therefore, they're the Soul Stone. That's what the...
What?
So I heard a theory that Kendrick Lamar is the Soul Stone because the song he wrote for the Black Panther movie is in the movie, so therefore the album has to exist in the movie for that song to exist, so then he's the Soul... It's weird. It's dumb.
Once again, we're in a different film.
Okay. But yeah, to add to this,
I can't. I can't do this. The little boy at the party. And I can't talk anymore.
That's why we're moving on. The little boy at the party is Jason Reitman, Ivan Reitman's son, who says that his dad says they're full of bullshit. So but it just gets weird.
He said crap, Tony. He's not going to have his son cuss in a family film.
Well, he learned enough of it when he makes Juno.
Now, if it was Jason Bateman.
He cusses a lot. He had a whole movie about it.
Yeah.
Really?
Bad words.
Oh. Gentlemen.
Anyway.
That's the third movie we've referenced trying to get through this scene. And we haven't even referenced He-Man yet.
We already did the He-Man movie and we don't want to talk about that either.
Well, nor.
Okay. And there it is. So the kids would rather have He-Man. The guys are obviously, you know, old, washed up. And nobody cares anymore because they can't be Ghostbusters. The city sued the shit out of them.
I don't get it. Like
I don't get how any of them have any fucking money if the city sued them like that. Raise open up bookstores and shit. Like, Peeves got that nice apartment
because it's New York and that's what y'all's is like in New York. It's like, oh, you saved the city. Oh, we can't pay that. Oh, it's your fault. Look at all this damage. That's America. It's the American way.
They probably sue them to make them stop practicing, not for money. Mm-hmm. Like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway,
didn't you? Well, all right. That's another movie.
Well, it's messed up though.
Just go for it. What?
It's technically they did create an unsafe condition by storing all of those ghosts in that unlicensed containment unit.
Oh sure.
Which they did shut down, but. If they weren't doing that, there wouldn't have been that unsafe condition, would be the logic they probably used.
That's fair.
That's the government.
Or I was going to say, like the speech Green Goblin gave to Spider-Man, people just want to see the hero fall. They want to see him fail.
Well, fuck it. If Spider-Man comes up, sorry.
Especially, okay. You know it's going to be Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, right.
So bottom line.
When we roll.
Who are you going to call? He-Man.
Yes. Yeah. We're going to call He-Man. Mm-hmm. If Dolph Lundgren showed up, do you think they'd still be happy?
This was pretty Dolph Lundgren. No. Yeah. Oh, wait, no, it wasn't.
No, Dolph Lundgren, he'd done his thing at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was what, like 86 or something?
Yeah.
I mean, this is probably even post-Lundgren. Like, he's still doing movies, but he's not, like, doing any good movies. Did he ever do good movies? I don't know.
Rocky.
Rocky 4, though.
What?
Yeah, let's not go there.
Yeah.
All right,
Kindergarten Cop 2?
Right, I forgot about that.
Johnny Mnemonic. Let's not forget that.
Wait, he was in Johnny Mnemonic.
Yeah,
he was Electric Jesus.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I've tried so hard to block that movie out of my mind.
I'm sure you all did.
The Dolphin? Come on, man.
That's why I dragged that shit back out into the light where no one wanted it.
So, in case you were wondering, there's not a lot going on in Ghostbusters 2.
Oh.
There's stuff. We're just avoiding it.
Yeah.
It's true.
So, the Ghostbusters are going their separate ways. They're doing their own thing. But Dana gets a hold of Egon because, you know, the craziness with the carriage. And she wants him to check it out. She says it's cool if he brings Ray in, but she doesn't want Bankman in because we find out they had a rough past.
Apparently.
A lot's been going on for Dana in the past 5 years.
Apparently.
Also, Egon is now... using science to come up with new ways of torturing people.
Basically.
Yeah. As far as I can tell.
I think technically torturing the room.
Mm-hmm. Egon and Peter are sociopaths.
Mm-hmm.
Ray and Winston are like actual normal people.
Ray is not normal.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. But they have like emotions is what I'm saying. But Egon and Peter just like total robots.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I forgot the specifics of this, but yeah, Egon just has no feeling for anything. He's essentially Spock. Peter, however, like he understands he's upsetting you. He just doesn't care.
Right.
So it's a little different.
We all know that guy.
So, yeah, basically Egon, he's got these people in the room, which has made them wait for 2.5 hours thinking they were going to get marriage counseling. And then he's slowly raised the temperature. So that's 95 degrees in the room, much like in here.
Yes.
Now, in all fairness, he's onto something.
Yep.
Because literally the way this movie goes, it's the ambient feelings in the area are what drives the
yeah, that is when I did not get the first few times I've seen this, but that is setting up the whole, you know, emotion studies kind of thing with the slime and whatnot.
Yeah.
So there's definitely something to this. He's also, he's got a little girl in the next room.
With a puppy.
He gives her a puppy, then he takes it away. Just sad.
Mm-hmm. Now, what's sad is he made her kill the puppy.
Yes, that would be a snuff film.
But like a Bioshock moment there. So, what do we even do now? Oh, yeah, we see World of the Psychic.
Yeah.
Peter's off. Show.
Yeah, Peter's off doing his own thing. Also, kind of something I missed the first time or so, but like this guy says, claims he's psychic. You're supposed to think he's a nut job, but he claims that the world's going to end at midnight. Mm-hmm. And if the Ghostbusters don't intervene, it would have.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah.
He did not catch that. He was actually right onto it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other lady,
she just got date raped.
Had an affair and blamed it on aliens.
Yes. Yeah. Which is accurate. That's what you do.
It was probably David Duchovny.
Yeah. I mean,
you will believe.
Took her back to his room on the Holiday Inn, or a room in the spaceship made to look like a Holiday Inn.
Oh, that's just terrible.
Yeah.
As I explained to my husband, he gave me a drink and then convinced me to come back to his spaceship.
That actor's crazy, or actress's crazy face is on point, though. Like, you got the one eye looking one way, the other eye looking the other.
She's a good little actress.
Mm-hmm. All right, so, yeah, basically, they say their thing. Bankman doesn't give them any respect. He's just like, oh, it's going to end, you know, New Year's this year. You know, didn't you think you would get better book sales if you said next year? You know, at least you're not even going to get the paperbacks.
Yeah, again, leading to this guy's credibility. He's like, it's not about making money. I'm trying to warn people the world is going to end at midnight.
And this, wasn't this guy the principal and warrior?
He might have been.
Yes, he was. Yeah. Yes, he was.
He was also in the Transformer film.
Yeah, I try to forget about those.
He was in a couple of movies.
We keep dragging those out.
He's also the general guy in Godzilla from 1998.
Oh. Yeah, we haven't even gotten there yet.
I had forgotten about that film.
Yeah.
Let's move on. Who's
in the movie again?
I believe a fetching Matthew Broderick is playing with some worms in that movie.
Okay, all right.
So,
singing in the rain.
Everyone's favorite action hero, Matthew Broderick.
Now we see Dana Barrett. She's at work restoring a painting, and we meet Janosch.
He's creepy as fuck.
I don't know. There's first few scenes, I'm like, he's awkward, but like, you know, he seems like he's a nice guy. He's just, his approach here is pretty, it's bad, but.
Listen, he's Carpathian, yeah, you know.
He's very European. He doesn't understand the mores of
personal boundaries and
this culture.
I'm just going to touch your hair, and if you feel my penis on you, it's totally normal.
In fairness, she had something in her hair.
She did, his penis.
Well, at least he took it out.
Let me just put this on your shoulder, and all right, let's have a conversation, shall we?
Just pretend it's a curler.
But you see in the background, this new painting's coming in. Viggo the Carpathian.
Yeah, and immediately it starts warbling and wobbling, and faces are coming out of it.
Like they do.
Yeah. Kind of like the wall scene from Nightmare on Elm Street.
Mm-hmm.
But so you obviously something's up here. Not that it.
That's getting redone again.
Nightmare on Elm Street?
Yeah.
Oh, of course.
Sure.
Yeah, why?
So we find that Ray is now running an occult shop. And Peter just happens to come in when Egon comes in to talk to Ray about what's going on with Dana. And Ray cannot keep a secret.
For shit.
Well, hold on. In all fairness, I'm with Ray on this one. Like Ray is the kind of person who's so evidently, like into information where, like, he doesn't even think that, like, I shouldn't say things.
Mm-hmm.
It's not even part of him. So, like, so when he's not saying something, you're like, something's up.
Oh, also, Venkman's the kind of guy, though, that can just walk in a room, see a person, and be like, that person knows a secret.
Well, look, because Ray is someone who just says everything.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Like, him holding something in purposely, mm-hmm. you can tell he's holding something in purposely, and Venkman is that guy. He's like, Ray knows something. What do you know, Ray? Mm-hmm.
Like, that's why you need to learn to lie, motherfucker. Like,
I don't know.
We're doing this for an old friend. Who is it? Like, oh, remember that librarian from the first movie? We're helping her. Whatever. So, shut up. Go away.
Ray's not that guy.
Yeah. It's for Winston.
An old friend no one talks about or thinks about
Winston.
Anymore.
He's out there working.
He is. No? Just be like, oh. I got nothing against Winston. I got everything against how
he's
they
doing
treat
his hair
him.
And he's working.
Mm-hmm. He's doing his hair.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a prison...
Working on that mustache.
Wayne's right.
All right. So they go to see Dana, and, you know, Egon walks in, Ray walks in, and then Peter walks in. Dana's like, oh, great.
Yeah. Let me just douche this place up for a little bit, tell you that you had a shitty marriage and your kid's ugly.
He just comes in like, I am a turd.
Yeah. Squeezed out a big steamy dump right on your carpet.
You know why
carpet.
She didn't want to see him? It's because she knows it. She loves giant turds.
Yeah.
And like, she'll be all about him if he shows back up in her life.
Oh, he's an endearing turd.
Yeah, she's like, fuck, he's back. Damn it.
He's that kind of turd that you look at it and you're like, that was made out of chocolate.
It's like, it's like 10 Keurigs big, and it's like, you gotta like, sorry.
It's the biggest number two in the universe.
Anyway.
Yeah, he's a big dick, and she loves the D. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So I like Egon's bitchin' stethoscope hat that he's got going there. I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah, that's a new one on me. Yeah. They're testing out the baby, trying to see if there's anything weird about the kid.
Well, I was thinking about that, like, if you were using that on a person, like, you would basically just be looking at their junk, roughly in that area, the gut or junk region.
Well, like, the chest, and you're basically here.
Yeah, you'd be more...
Yeah, depending on, you know, if they move it around. Either way, it would be awkward to use.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it frees up your hands to do other things.
Yes.
In the junk area.
The junk area, yeah.
He does want to do a gynecological exam on Sigourney Weaver.
Now, I'm going to listen to your heart and stimulate you sexually.
Which, by the way, that was another thing. They were like, this one's going to be more geared towards kids. Let's tone down the adult humor. Like, there's still a ton of it. Oh,
yeah.
It's
maybe
better hidden.
I didn't get any of it when I was a kid.
Yeah, that's the thing. It might be better hidden. Like the
That was the script.
That was an immediate observation I had, was that, like, I don't remember any of the adult jokes that were in here.
Yeah, the gynecological exam, the epididymis thing.
Yep.
Like, I'm forgetting some of the others now. But
like, at 8, you didn't know what those words were.
Exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Maybe it's just better hidden, but it's still, it's there in full force.
So they're looking at baby Oscar's toys here. And I love this conversation with Egon where he didn't have toys when he was a kid.
His parents didn't believe in them.
It's like, not even a slinky. It's like, I had part of a slinky, but I straightened it.
I laughed real hard.
Sure did. I'm telling you. Harold Ramis, like, saved the best jokes for himself on this pass.
So, yeah, they go to where the carriage stopped its little rampage, and they're getting all kinds of crazy readings. So, of course, that means dig a hole.
Yeah, time to dig a hole.
Right in first half.
Yeah. Now, here again, just what the hell are you thinking?
Yep.
Like, I understand this is the source of the problem. This is where we need to look at things or whatever. But, like, I don't know. I gotta imagine they would know that the cops or somebody would question this.
Yes.
Which, maybe you should have some kind of story for that better than you did. But, more importantly, like, maybe try a manhole cover first.
I'm saying, like,
get underground.
City plans aren't a secret. Like, you can get them.
Yeah.
You can, like, go in the sewer first, and then, like...
Fuck, it turns out this is part of an old tunnel system that's already existent. There's probably an entrance somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes people are just wrong-headed about things. Mm-hmm. Like saying Nestle Crunch isn't delicious, because it is.
Like, what's funny is, as you say that, I'm looking at the bar and looking like, that looks so unappealing. Like, as you were saying, that looks so unappealing.
It flips it over, it looks pretty good, but, like, yeah, the other side of it...
You could not be more wrong.
So, anyway, we're not going down this road again.
Which also, if we're going to go down a tangent, the pneumatic transit system, that's just awesome. That whole story.
The whole new MoTube.
Huh? Yeah. Well, just the fact that like some guy came up with this idea for this new train, so he just dug out a track for it, like without telling the city or anything. Mm. Like he just did that all on his own.
Back in the days when you could do that.
Yeah, it's just awesome.
That man was the shadow.
He was the shadow.
That would have been a funny aside scene where like when they pull Ray out of the tunnel, he kicks a pipe, and like a shit like one of the shadow's notes comes flying out. Like, oh.
It's the shadow's letter to Santa.
On Ray's way down there, they just pass that guy in the center, like pushing all the different tubes or whatever.
They manage to convince the cop that they're doing some kind of job, and the cop drives off without checking their permit.
They don't convince him though, because cop goes and gets the shitty planner.
Yeah,
and is like, yo, is this on your shit? And brings it with him later.
Meanwhile, by this point though, they're lowering Ray down the hole, and he finds a whole river of slime, takes a sample. But now that's when the cop comes back with the city planner. They're yelling at each other. Well, tentacles are starting to come out of the slime.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got little hand things and stuff. It's trying to grab at Ray.
Mm-hmm.
Wants to drag him under.
Mm-hmm.
They finally pull him up, which also, by the way, just to clarify, like, I believe those hands and everything were inspired by all the arguments going on above between the Ghostbusters and the cops.
That is correct.
So they're doing their work here.
Mm-hmm. As they're pulling Ray up, though, and he's freaking out, he kicks a pipe, I guess.
Yeah. And all of New York goes down.
Yeah. I mean, like, suddenly New York has, like, Detroit infrastructure, or Flint infrastructure, I should say.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Just everything's out. Complete
all
darkness.
Manhattan. Stunned.
Yeah. So the Ghostbusters get hauled in. They're, you know, off to jail while mm-hmm. Peter McNichol makes a little stop over at Dana's place, which I guess we should mention. Did we go over that he's possessed now?
Not yet.
Oh, no. So, yeah, actually, we did skip that part because while they lower Ray down, that's when you get the scene where this also freaked me out as a kid when Viggo's just work. I'm sorry, Janos is working on the painting.
Yeah. It's kind of creepy.
Mm-hmm.
It just electrocutes him, force lightning right out of his eyes.
Yeah,
starts talking to him, talking a bunch of game.
Yeah, okay. How do you sit on a throne of blood? I think we've
you'll
asked
have
this
to
question
ask
before.
A lady that.
Okay, okay, wow. Okay. Hold on, stop.
Wow, I'm sorry, female listeners.
I got you, all three of them. I got you. So
we only have four listeners.
There's iron and copper in your blood, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with enough bodies, you can get enough minerals out of the blood to actually build something.
Sure, Magneto.
Yeah.
Like, so if you kill enough people, you can make a throne out of iron or blood. I want to say it takes like 800 people worth of blood to make a sword. So like...
Why do you know that?
You should check his manifesto.
Yeah.
I'm going to start calling you Plastic Man and you're stretching that far.
Yeah.
Making that reach. I'm saying he's reaching.
I was just thinking that they would just freeze the blood, maybe. That would be my hypothesis. He sit on a frozen throne of blood.
Could be.
Which I think is like a Warcraft expansion.
It's probably a toilet metaphor. And he just eats a lot of like...
Arby's,
Taco Bell. You name it.
The stuff we eat.
Yeah, Arby's.
It does produce a river of slime.
He's like...
Not wrong.
To be fair, I also thought the river of slime here is probably what your pipes look like after one of these sessions.
I just ate the Arby's animal roast beef sandwich. I need something lighter. I think I'm going to get a naked egg taco from Taco Bell.
So I do like how Janos plays this, though. Because, like, he gets electrocuted and stuff, and he's just like, he's immediately like, okay, cool, we're doing that. Yeah, all the things you said.
I didn't realize how quickly he was all in.
Yeah.
I thought he got hypnotized first. Like, no, right away he's in.
He's just like, my whole paradigm just got changed right there.
Yeah, I was trying to explain this to Brian while we were watching this, like, because he now felt no sympathy for this character, but I'm like... This is a guy who, like, he would have shit himself and given in to any demand you had if you showed up with a gun. If you're a talking painting shooting lightning out of your face, yeah, he's given in. Like, that's it. There's no question about that.
What if Viggo was dressed as Cowboy Curtis? What
isn't
then?
He?
Well, a little. Close. He doesn't have the chaps.
Just a hat, yeah.
He needs the hat and the chaps. He might have the chaps. If it was just Cowboy Curtis, that'd be amazing.
That one was Lawrence Fishburne, right?
Yes, it was.
Okay.
So, does anybody want to describe what Viggo looks like, other than Brian?
No, I don't want to describe that.
Other than Brian?
I don't want to describe it. I don't want to.
I know, I'm saying. You're not allowed. You are not so, in this like, conversation.
I'm going to have to give this to Joe, just because I think anything I say now because of Brian is going to sound terrible. Mine's not going to be
close, but it's just a shittier version of Carl from Die Hard.
It actually is Carl from Die Hard.
It is, yes. Okay.
Yeah, it is the actor Carl from Die Hard.
Yeah.
But it looks like they made him crappier looking.
I think a couple years made him crappier looking.
He did have some bad shellfish before he did this, yes.
Yeah. All right. I was thinking a more mongoloid version of Christopher Lambert.
Well, that also works, yes.
Either way, he does not look acceptable.
Yeah, well, he looks like an ancient Carpathian demon god. I mean,
he's not something you want to run into.
Oh, definitely not. That.
Oh, God. That sounded like one of those like toys you would get at the ones like I think it's a Jacob's Ladder where you flip it and like the block goes like. Plick, 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 plick.
Oh God! Rob just farted.
It sounds a little like that too.
Just to clarify, was that sound bricks falling out of your ass onto the floor?
Lego bricks?
Maybe. I don't know what you do. I don't want to get into your personal life that much.
Oh, and it smells too.
Of course it does.
That one got over here pretty quick.
Let's talk about the skirts of Moldavia.
I don't smell it yet.
It's about 400 people to make a longsword. Sorry.
Where can one find that fact, Brian?
Yeah, he's searching the dark web.
The internet.
Yeah. Oh, he is.
Okay, so... Yeah, Yanos...
He goes on this whole spiel about, you know, his throne of blood. It's the season of evil. All the leaves are brown. Like, whatever the fuck, I don't...
I think I might be sitting on a throne of blood, too.
All the chairs are brown, that's for sure. Yep. And his pants are gray.
Wait, what?
It just goes with the lyrics. I don't know.
Floating the mamas and the papas.
Yeah.
He's California dreaming.
Yeah,
you can open that window some more if you want.
So. Please do. Yeah. But yeah, he gives in. And Vigo's like, I need a baby.
I need a baby. In my belly.
I need you to get me a baby so I can put myself in it.
How could you say no to that?
Well, Janosch, of course, is not, because he's all in for this plan.
Well, like we said, like, he's super European.
Dude, I'm just going to move like I'm going to move like 10 feet over there. I'm going to be out of your firing arc. I'm just going to turn you to face the wall. What are you going to do then?
That would be pretty funny. He just puts like a big blanket over the thing.
I was just thinking, like, grab a can of paint thinner and just boom.
Yeah.
See how that goes.
It wouldn't work. It's magic.
Yeah, probably.
I guess I'll see you in the morning.
So sleepy.
Or just, you know. I will haunt you to the ends of the earth. You will do my bidding or you will suffer my wrath. Just cuts to the big painting sticking out of a dumpster in the back. Damn it.
So during the power outage, we see Milos, whatever his name is.
Janosch.
Is at her house all of a sudden, and he's like, "Can I come in?" She's like, "No," and then his eyes light up like fucking flashlights.
Yeah, what?
For no reason.
Damn car.
Because I thought I remembered the scene showing that he could see through the wall, like where these beams hit the wall, you could see through it. That's not what's happening. No. His eyes just light up.
Well, he's walking around in the dark.
Yeah.
But it wasn't dark. There were emergency lights on.
I would argue in movie terms that's supposed to be dark.
I mean, that is true because, like, we need to be able to see, the audience has to be able to see stuff. So.
Yeah.
What are you talking about? Zack Snyder has disproven that.
Well, I don't know. His box office sales say otherwise.
No, they say a lot of the money got spent on that movie, but, like.
No, but I'm saying by the lack of audience appreciation, that proves that is not the case.
If we just put a camera in a duffel bag.
Yeah, just because you can film dark doesn't mean anyone wants you to.
So, anywho.
Cut to the Ghostbusters on trial. And why Lewis is their attorney?
Because they don't know anyone else and we need to get the band back together.
They're pleading no contest anyway. But whatchamacallit, friggin' he, Lewis is like, guys, this is a bad idea.
Yeah. Well, if they're pleading no contest.
Well, they're not, but they're basically like, they're going through with the trial, but they're essentially like phoning it in.
Well, I mean, it's hard to tell because Bill Murray was pretty much phoning it in for the entire movie.
Yes, he sure was. My God. But this is one of the better scenes. And a big part of it for me is because of Rick Moranis. Because just, oh, he's terrible, but it's amazing.
Wait,
he's
turned into a dog once. They helped me.
One time I turned into a dog. Well, yeah, let's start out with Judge Hates a Lot here, who's just like, I just want to start out letting you know, I think everything you say and do is bullshit. Now let's start the trial. Yeah. Like,
That's kind of right there. I'd be like, so,
mistrial?
I'm going to, see you at my new trial.
Did that
just make its way to you?
Yeah.
Wait, was that Joe?
I don't think so. Anyway, okay. Just continue. Lewis is trying to plead their case. He's just terrible at it.
Like, they have a Bankman's feeding him lines in his own questioning. Yeah.
It's the opposite of leading the witness, which I think is what the objection is.
Well, I believe they say he's leading the witness. Or do they say the opposite?
Yeah, no, they say you're leading the witness.
But it is the other way around.
It's Soviet Russia, witness leads you.
But again, I like the, do you have any other questions for the witness that's pertinent to this? And he's just like, do I? And Peter's response is, no, we've helped them enough. It's beautiful.
So, he goes on this little diatribe about, there's stuff in this world you don't understand, and like, shit gets crazy, who you're going to call? And the court erupts in a cheer.
Yeah. Not He-Man this time. They're like, man.
But Judge is like, fuck it. Y'all guilty. All charges.
Which, first of all, it's also like they're trying to blame them on this whole river of slime. Like, they somehow put that there.
Yeah.
Like, which is funny because I was going to say, while watching it, they can go down there and see the fucking slime river, and they did see it, but they're saying they put it there. Like, how the fuck? Where would they get that much? Like,
how did we put it there? How about that?
Not just that, but I'd be like,
you don't even need to establish a motive. Just how did we put it there?
No, fuck all that. I would just be like, hey, go take a closer look. When a hand comes out and pulls you inside, tell me how that happened.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair, within a matter of hours, these guys did get all the equipment to dig a hole in the middle of the street. So maybe they've got resources we don't know about.
A couple, cement mixers full of shit to dump all that.
That's a lot of corn syrup.
Yeah. But anyway, but again, just the hanging judge here, not only is he screaming at them and telling them that he finds them guilty, but he goes on the record saying if he had his way, he'd burn them at the stake. Really? I don't think the New York City is going to be totally cool with this forever, guy.
Are you cold? Oh, motherfucker, how is that?
I'm right by the window.
He is by the window.
Fuck. There's a breeze over here.
This is why we're going to start sitting by the window. Remember, Brian?
I also smell like a ball sack.
But that's the usual.
But more so. Anyway.
So wait, you decided to seal in the juices?
Would you rather I expose them to you?
Nope, never mind. All right. So,
try and be considerate. Fuck.
So the judge is, he's ranting, he's screaming, he looks like he's about to have a heart attack.
Meanwhile, the pink slime is reacting to him being angry.
How the hell does nobody notice that?
They notice it.
There's a tornado in the middle of the courtroom.
I think the judge is the only one that really doesn't notice it, but he's just on a tear. Like,
in all fairness, though, if I'm in the courtroom and the judge is wigging out that bad, I'm in the back going, oh, shit. Oh, yeah.
If you're in the back, yes. But if you're the prosecutor or someone in that front seat, I'd be like, oh, shit.
I would have noped right out of there.
I'm going to step out of here, yeah.
So I do not get this part. So two ghosts burst out of slime. Fine. Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're about to go on a rampage.
The Scolari brothers. Yeah.
He's immediately like, it's the Scolari brothers.
Oh, yeah.
What two people in the world look like that? those weren't even close to people.
Well, to
like,
be
they were
fair,
humanoid. But, you can't just recognize two people
To be
like
fair,
that.
Uh-huh. If you had two people that looked like that, you would recognize them. And
also, to be fair, they should be put to death. They
look different than us. Let's kill them. Yeah.
That is a perhaps harsher view than what I was going to say, which is judging by the sheer hatred and, you know, in this man's heart and soul and how he seems to always see red. This might just be how he pictured them when they were alive.
And they came back as he imagined them.
Yeah. This is the grotesque version I always saw.
That blue skin, the giant heads, the rows of shark teeth.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's a person. So, yeah, it's Scoleri brothers start going on a rampage.
Yeah. Just start messing the courtroom up. They grab the prosecutor by her leg and drag her out of there. Mm-hmm. And the judge is just like, oh shit, you guys got to do something. But they're like, you know, got to talk to my lawyer.
So yeah, suddenly Lewis is on point now.
Sort of.
Sort of. He's powered up.
Yeah. He's saying some things wrong, but no more than I do that on a regular basis.
That the girl gave us.
Yeah. If they did anything now, they'd be exposing themselves, and you don't want them exposing themselves. But he's like, you know, I'll drop all the charges, whatever, just fucking deal with this. So they throw on the packs, and they get to some ghost busting.
So they, you know, turn them on in sequence to do, re, Egon.
You know what I don't get?
What's that?
Like, so they had them there, they had their packs there, which they didn't bring the packs with them to the sewers.
Yep.
So they had to go get them right. Where's Winston's pack? Winston was there in the courtroom.
Winston keeps his pack at home. Wait, was Winston in the courtroom?
He was in the courtroom with them. Yeah. He was on trial with them?
Oh, that's right. Yeah, he was a witness. He was watching it.
Yeah. He was in the courtroom with them.
He was there for moral support.
Did they confiscate maybe the other packs in
Well,
the
Winston
Ecto
was smart
one,
enough to leave his pack at his house.
He was responsible to leave his nuclear device at home.
And I'm guessing also Winston was smart enough to be like, oh, I'm seeing bubbles out of that gum. Yeah, I'm out of here. Fuck this shit.
Yeah, he did peace out. Right? I don't know where he went.
I didn't even think about that.
Like, man, he's not in most of the movie. Like,
yeah.
He was in the middle of a good book at the time.
Fuck, poor Winston.
Yeah. Nah.
Well, no, like he gets shafted in this.
Mm-hmm. He did all right.
All right, so long story short, they shoot up these ghosts. They get the beams around them.
Yep.
Bring them in. Get them with the trap.
Yeah, we're back, boys.
When I was watching this last night, I watched it with a whole bunch of people. Brick raised a pretty good question of where did they take this ghost? Because their containment unit blew up. Did it just have another one?
I assume they rebuilt it, right?
It's been 5 years, so.
Although they were told not to do ghost busting anymore, so I don't know.
We'll have to see we don't know how long, like, they had before the cases came in, and
they just released it back into the wild.
Yeah.
Just catch and release. Well, they just took it out to a park somewhere.
Yeah.
I would guess, worst case scenario. Just
drove upstate New York, unleashed the trap, and then drove back.
Sitting in the trap still.
Yeah, they just, no, what's that, where they spray paint a bright orange on its back and release it in the area where there's falcons. In playing devil's advocate, they keep it in the trap until they can rebuild the containment unit, which they have time to do while they're coming up with their new stupid-ass logo.
Yeah.
Didn't they have a portable containment unit on the car?
Is that what that thing on the top is?
I thought the big dumb tank?
Yeah. In the game and the show, I think. I don't know about the movie.
I know in the game you could even get a thing on top of the car, that like a funnel that just pulled ghosts in.
Yeah, they got that. They got that Luigi's Mansion back.
Who knows?
So,
but, okay, just...
Maybe they just have a whole bunch of...
Why the two?
Why the two?
Yeah, on the sign. Why the two? I get it for the title of the movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
But for like...
Because it's metal as fuck.
Yeah.
There might be a legal recourse keeping them from using Ghostbusters.
Okay.
You know what? That might be true. They might have to reincorporate themselves as Ghostbusters too.
Yeah.
Because Ghostbusters is still being sued. So. Yeah.
Plus it's a peace sign. Plus it's, you know, sign for victory.
At that point, they should have had Janine answer the phone. Yeah, Ghostbusters 2. Yes, we're back.
Yeah. All right. So now... This puts movies on notice here, because by Ghostbuster standards, this isn't even that great of a montage. But by movie standards, this is an awesome montage.
Yeah.
Yeah, this movie can do its montages.
Because it's to the point.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's not overly drawn out.
We're busting ghosts.
We're back doing our thing.
Yeah, the operation's back. Winston's back. They got the cheesy commercials. And boy, do they have cheesy commercials. Oh, yeah. Who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters. Now with a thermos and a balloon for the kids.
That's where Janine first got the idea about what's his name? About Lewis. In that commercial.
Yep.
The pajamas he's wearing were a little loose. Yeah. And she's like, oh, yeah. Oh,
okay. All right.
Now, honestly, if you're going to make a cheesy, public access commercial, why not just have one of those shitty ghosts dangling from a string being pushed around the set and shoot it with a proton?
No, vacuum cleaner.
Isn't that kind of what they did for the first movie? It was the cheesy ghost on a string, I thought.
I don't remember how that one went down.
Oh, no. Maybe no. No, I'm totally thinking.
No, the first one had a bit more just it's them talking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
But one important thing to take from this montage, though, is you're noticing slime is popping up in more places now, including from a payphone.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that what happened to all the payphones in New York? I believe it.
Wow. If you see a payphone in New York, I guarantee you it's full of slime.
Oh, yeah. Like I said,
Do not put that up to your mouth.
No. Or ear.
Do not let that touch your face.
You get space AIDS. Yeah.
You have to use that, just set it down, and just yell into it from a distance away.
Which, to be fair, is how most New Yorkers communicate anyway.
You will get infected by Max von Sydow.
That'd be an interesting curse. You just get dubbed over by Max von Sydow.
Actually, if it's just the voice, I'm down. Yeah. I'll go get that right now.
He used the payphone, and now I'm sitting on a throne of blood.
Right. That so means now, you're locked in the bathroom for the next 3 days.
Now we get the scene with the slime.
Yeah, so Dana is just, she's home with the baby.
No, not that part yet. This is when they're at their pool table.
Yeah.
Oh, hanging out with a Tupperware of slime.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
And they're discussing it's...
Well, that's true. This is not the scene with the slime. This is a scene with the slime.
No, this is the slime scene. This is the slimiest scene of all.
Yeah. Because they find out ways to give a positive reinforcement.
Oh, yeah. I remember that part. But we deal with the negative stuff first.
Yeah. The two of them are like, check this out. They got a Tupperware container Ray and of slime. Egon. Yeah.
You're nothing but a single stage molecule.
Yeah, Egon's trying to do insults the way only Egon can.
Mm-hmm. In fairness, he's putting that slime down pretty hard.
Yeah. The slime reacts either way. But Ray's giving a good trash talking too, and we see it all bubbling up and about to explode. Which, it literally looks like if Winston hadn't calmed him down at that moment, it would have exploded. Yeah. We would have gotten more ghosts. And God knows what would have shown up in their house. Mm-hmm.
The boogeyman from the cartoon.
Oh, I hated those episodes.
That's horrifying.
Find out conversely when you do positive things with the slime.
What positive things?
Well,
you sing to it.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Say nice things to it.
Positive affirmations to it.
Uh-huh.
Again, Venkman knows whenever Ray's got a secret.
Dude, the looks Ray and Egon were giving each other.
And Ray, Peter knew immediately, is like, one of you slept with it.
There were fights over the microwave.
I believe the first thing is like as long as you haven't slept with it, and just Ray and Egon exchanges look like, okay, we won't do that again.
Heat it up for 30 seconds and just go to town. It's only about 80% slime at this point.
Hey, Louie, what do you got there? I want to dip my balls in it.
Say it.
Worst part, Peter goes, you old hound, when he hears this. Like, ew, really?
It's just going to be, they're going to get it mad. It's just going to pop out a Slimer with Ray's face on it.
Also, quick side note.
This thing's going to come back to him for an alimony check.
Yeah. Child support payments.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Oh, God, I might get sick. Because I don't remember because I wasn't paying enough attention when we watched it just now.
Good job.
Do any of them eat the toast?
No. I don't think so.
No. Okay. Because that's the same slime that they just put in that toaster.
You never heard of soggy biscuit?
Big Mouth.
Huh?
Big Mouth, you will watch that on Netflix.
I tried.
Oh, it's so inappropriate. It's hilarious.
Disagree.
Okay. Oh, so, whatever. Needless to say, here's where we get some preludes where the movie's like, guys, you want to know how we're going to jump the shark later? Watch this with the toaster.
Yeah, so they pour this part goo, part Egon, I guess, into the toaster.
Now, he probably took a small sample of it to do his business, not the whole thing.
No, you don't contaminate the sample. Yeah. You take a little bit of it.
Ray contaminates the sample. Yeah. And Egon probably unknowingly took a sample from the sample that Ray contaminated and contaminated that. So you don't even want to know.
Yeah. Maybe he just thought it might make a good lube.
Also, to clarify, I don't think Ray slept with it. I think it's just Egon.
No, they both did. They've been taking turns.
Yeah, those are two men that had made a pact.
I think Egon did it. Ray knew.
Yeah, that's what I'm going.
Ray
strikes me as the kind of person that could easily be talked into doing that.
Wait, Ray knew and took notes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no. Yeah, I don't think
that's
Ray.
True. That experiment needed a moderator.
Yeah. Oh, damn it.
Ray was wearing the little heart. Yeah. Little stethoscope hat.
Yeah. Let me rephrase this. I don't think Ray has slept with it yet. He is next in line. It just hasn't happened.
Look, my hands are full. I can't take notes while I'm doing this. I need someone to help me out. Like, Ray. Yeah.
So they goop this.
Well, I'm going to record it then because I need one hand free because this is hot.
So they goop this toaster.
All right. And you blast some music and the toaster starts dancing around.
Nah, the toaster starts bouncing.
For a toaster.
It dances as much as a toaster can dance.
It is uncontrolled bouncing.
Yes.
Sometimes you feel
rhythmic,
music.
Though.
The solid plastic feet of the toaster do not start being able to move like actual people feet.
We'll get there later. But they do not. It hears the music. It gets excited by the heartwarming tones or whatever.
It blows its toasty load.
It does blow its
right out its top.
Oh, I learned it from you, okay? I learned it by watching you.
All right, and so
we find out that the slime can be positively charged.
So then Peter puts his fingers in the toaster and pretends that it's biting his fingers. And then he's like, oh, you should see the look on all your faces. And the three of them tackle him as the scene fades
away. I bet that was ad-libbed. I bet.
Yeah.
Probably.
Might have been.
Now, this is when Peter shows up to talk to Dana at her job.
Oh, right. He just kind of casually puts his coat over a priceless painting.
Yep.
Because he's a dick. I forgot what he's even saying here. Like, he's flirting with her, doing his thing.
Those jokes, like, 20 years too early, but how funny it would be if she was restoring, like, that woman that butchered that famous painting with, like, the blurry, like, happy face.
The Jesus. Drew. Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen that one, right? That restoration job gone wrong?
No.
Oh,
look it up. The before and after. The woman was restoring a painting of Jesus, and I could only imagine some sort of Mr. Bean style snafu occurred where like paint thinner got poured on Jesus's face
because
the end result's bad.
Yeah, it's really like here's a beautiful painting with a little dirt on it, and then she restores it to a child's drawing of what she thinks a person looks like. Yeah. It's fucking like, awful.
What, she just spray some Formula 409 on it?
Maybe.
Clorox wipe to get it?
I'd believe it. And you know what? I'd believe it from Dana here, too, because she's a cellist. Mm-hmm. What the fuck does she know about restoring paintings?
She's a woman of many talents.
Yeah, you don't know. She could be a fucking...
Like, I got the art school degree.
Yeah.
I'm making do with it what I can.
She could be a ship's captain. You never know. Yeah.
I guess everybody's getting new jobs in this movie, so why not?
She could pilot a power loader.
I wish she would, though. She could
shoot a pulse rifle.
If only. Yeah. What the hell? He's there to be a dick, right? And Janusz meets him, and he meets Vigo, and Vigo meets him.
I think he went there to hit on her, but he sees the painting, takes some pictures.
Sharpie's a dick on
Vigo. Yeah, he threatens to paint a kitten. into the painting.
That would have been pretty amazing, though.
If he comes back later, it's got Vigo's face on the kitten.
Yeah, but, like the whole scene was them trying to get readings in that room.
Yeah, and
that's where Ray gets kind of...
Yeah, Ray stares at it a little too long, and he gets mind wiped or whatever, just for a moment, just to kind of sow some seeds in there. But that ultimately really doesn't get anywhere. Although we also, around here, we find out more about Vigo's backstory. apparently, he was poisoned, stabbed, drawn and quartered,
castrated,
mm-hmm. whatever else. And as they cut his head off, he said...
No, as his head was dying.
Oh, as his head was dying.
There's a difference.
My bad. Death is but a doorway, time a window, I will be back.
Mm-hmm.
Or I will return. Or...
I think it was, I'll be back.
I'll be back.
All right.
Yeah. So I'll be back.
Then we get the scene with the other slime scene.
Right.
Which some of the people I watched it with, this was the scariest scene for them. Because hygiene afterwards became a bit of a problem.
That explains so much in Brick.
Yep.
No, yeah, this is one that definitely did creep me out as a kid. Where Dana's just taking care of the kid, about to give him a bath. Starts filling up the tub. Tub starts filling up with the pink slime. Mm. And it reached out to try and grab her. And the old tub just becomes a puppet. Try and eat her. Of course, after she's taken off her shirt.
Because,
you know, a little something for the fellas.
This was another one where... I mean, I know this was still, like, a practical effect. But I could have used an actual tub puppet and not, like, you could tell the clearly inserted thing that's not there.
I think that was probably a little too big to do practically, so...
I don't know. They could have had a guy in a little tub suit. I don't know.
Wait, wasn't it? Because...
No, like, it was clearly not
it was,
there.
It was inserted. Like,
yeah, it's clearly inserted.
Well, like, at one point, the whole tub, like, comes up.
Yeah, but we're saying the tub was a puppet, but it was probably a smaller puppet because she was just in front of a green screen.
Yeah.
Oh,
it
that's
was not, like, okay. a it person behind her going, rawr.
I was too distracted by the pink... worms that the tub was pouring out.
It's weird, like, hand puppet face thing going on, whatever. But yeah, honestly, now that makes it a little more fake looking and dated and whatever. Back then, it just added to the weirdness to me because, like, I just knew something was off with it. And it just felt uncomfortable.
I guess that's kind of a charm to 80s era special effects, where sometimes the fact that they don't look real sometimes helps them.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So anyway, she runs to Venkman's, because I guess that's the only Ghostbuster she knows, like, where he lives.
And probably the only one she's willing to show up shirtless.
Definitely not Egon. Well, you know, she doesn't want to catch Egon or Ray in the middle of one of their...
And no one knows where the hell Winston keeps
going. He's just gone.
Well, that's on purpose on his part.
Oh,
like,
yeah!
Winston's like, don't call me at home.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to get arrested as little as possible.
Yeah. I'm a clock out. Yeah. That's all the time you get from me.
Winston off the grid Zedmore. Yeah. He gets paid in cash, no W-2s.
Look, I just need a job. That's why I'm here. Yeah. I need a job.
Got bills to pay. That's all.
All right. So, yeah. Venkman makes a diaper out of a Jets jersey.
Accurate.
Which is what you do with that.
Yeah. Sorry, Jets fans, but...
Yeah.
No, I mean, the Jets are used to their own organization doing that, so they know what's up.
Fair enough.
So then, yeah, they... I like the scene where she's like, it's time to put the baby down, and, you know, and he's like... It's like, you have a big head, you're... An ugly nose and says a bunch of other stuff to him.
I believe it's you're ugly, your belly button sticks out too much, and you're a burden on your mother.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And your dick is never going to get any bigger than it is now.
Yeah. Wow. At which point, like, everyone in the room was, like, agreeing on all of those facts.
Yeah.
So now we return to the museum with the full Ghostbusters. And I like when they're all standing there and Venkman's like, suck in the guts, boys. We're the real Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Or we're the Ghostbusters.
He may have said the
real Ghostbusters. He might have said that, yeah.
Well, yeah, we kind of accidentally covered some of that before, so we'll just skip ahead.
Basically, yeah, that's the scene we mentioned before where Vigo tries to possess Ray. He gets a boner.
Yep.
Mm. So then, yeah, Venkman comes back home and Dana's just like, naked time.
Yeah, she got comfortable.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Just, I'm going to hang out in my towel.
Because in fairness, she did not have any other clothes, so.
Which, can I just say, I'm really sick of you guys doing that here. Like, I appreciate that we're friends, but stop just getting naked in my apartment.
Well, maybe if it wasn't so damn hot in here,
well,
we can keep clothes on, but like Nelly says, it's getting hot in here.
Yeah, I thought that's why it was always hot in here. You're trying to get these guys naked.
Just Brian.
I don't like to give Rob a choice. I just leave my clothes
mustache on or off. Too bad.
So, yeah, so they're going to go on a date. And he got Janine to babysit. So Lewis, he tries to ask her out. And she's like, well, why don't you come babysit with me?
Tries to ask her out. Do you mean, would you like to eat some food with me?
Yeah, I mean, what constitutes trying to ask her out for Lewis?
Yeah, which is pretty much anytime I've ever talked to a girl. Mm-hmm. Yeah, ladies.
I mean, he got further than I do, because I'm usually just like, ah! And then they run in one direction, I run in the other. That's as far as that goes.
If that were me, it would have ended with him being maced and under the car that just drove over him. But anyway.
So, where even are we now? So
Bankman's trying to take Dane out.
Yep.
The other three are like, we're gonna go investigate this river slime.
Well, there's the scene first where they're in the dark room at the firehouse, making these little pictures of Viggo and whatnot.
Yep.
And you can see the river of slime and all that, and his aura.
Yeah, like the first couple pictures is just him, or there's the painting, I should say. The second, you know, like a little after that, we start seeing the face morph, and then the last one is just the head floating above the river of slime. Yeah. Wait, what? Oh, sorry.
Well, I was going to say, I wonder if that shows up on digital cameras.
I was wondering about that, too, because, like, that would not happen nowadays. Yeah. Like, it'd be totally
well, because you'd see it right there and be like, whoa!
Yeah, either you're instantly having a heart attack or you're just like, whatever, not working. Mm-hmm. But, all right, so what? River of Slime.
Yep.
WTF. Just.
What do you want to know?
What's the connection? Where did this come from? How is it working?
Oh, what set that up?
Yeah.
Don't think too hard about it. It's okay.
All right.
From what I could gather, the negative emotions actually coalesce into the slime, and then that seeps down into the old subway system, and that all flows to the museum, where I imagine it's pooling in some sort, or concentrating in something that's Viggo is drawing power from. That would be my guess. Like, this movie doesn't tell you.
Don't forget, from the last movie, we've already established that New York is a space that was set up on purpose to be very mystically charged for contacting other dimensional planes and shit like that. And this guy is a wizard magician from nothing too hard about it.
It seemed like from the beginning it seemed like these were two totally separate entities until later on they're just like they're totally connected. Like I know from the beginning when he first shows up he's got the river of slime below him, but
his original play was in Boston, but then he's like the infrastructure just makes no sense there. Nothing goes where you want it to. So he's like,
I don't have the time to figure out the maze to get this to where I fucking need it to go.
That's one of those ones, like, if it took time to explain that stuff, the movie would have been longer than it needs to be. And like, ugh.
And time like that is instead spent by the pictures catching fire. And the little slidey lock locking them in the room
on the inside of the door.
Which they cannot figure out.
Like, maybe it was being held. Maybe it was.
They were going to call OnStar and be like, help. I locked myself inside my car.
Either way, Winston doesn't give a damn. He just kicks that door down.
Where was he?
Winston was on point. He's like, I've been waiting for something to do for like half an hour now.
He's like, well, on the clock, I'm there.
I'm cooling my heels down the lower level. Like, I got nothing to do with these picture things.
Yeah.
I'm playing the arcade in the other room.
Plus, I'd imagine with Ray and Egon, like, a weird thing like this happens at least once a shift, so he's probably gotten used to being on alert.
He's just asleep in a lounge chair with the fire extinguisher cuddled in his arms, just waiting.
Be like, they haven't fucked the slime in, like, half an hour, so should check on him. So, now they go to meet Peter.
Yeah. Peter and Dana are like, we're going on a date. You guys go have fun. So they head off into the sewage system here. I don't even know how they get in there. They're just heading through subway tunnels or something.
They just do.
Yeah, whatever. They're walking down.
They actually went and got, like, you know, the city plan.
Yeah. They did things properly, is what you mean? Yeah.
This weird tunnel system that, like, is lit up still.
It's just for us.
On the tracks. Yeah.
Again, movie lighting.
Yeah. So this part, because they're just walking along. They're like, you guys hear anything? You hear any echoes? And, you know, they're like, hello? Hello? Hello?
Yo.
Yeah. Then it's just like Winston.
Yeah. It's super creepy. Like,
yeah.
And there's a fucking severed head out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And then there's severed heads everywhere.
Yeah. Like, they're just surrounded.
Like dripping blood and everything.
Yeah. Suddenly gross. There's just heads on pikes all around them.
Yeah.
And they're freaking out for like a moment, and then they're just going.
Yeah. No, I mean, I failed my sanity check there, like when I was a kid, and just I lost it.
I think that's totally fair.
And that fear, like, it was funny because even, like, as a teenager where I knew that wasn't scary, like, the fear of what I had felt at that moment would still, like, I couldn't watch the scene. I had to look away.
Yeah. Wow. Fear is irrational like that. Yeah. I think I've talked about my Spaceballs fear.
Yeah.
Yep. It makes no sense.
Space AIDS?
No. Spaceballs. I'm afraid of Spaceballs.
Getting space AIDS from Spaceballs?
I am afraid of getting space AIDS from Spaceballs, yes.
That is a very rational fear.
But now I don't go to any room that looks like a Holiday Inn, even if it's... Even if I can see the outside of the building.
I can't tell if I'm on the mothership or not.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No matter what kind of alien they say they are.
So then they're like, let's go get the power packs. Nah, let's keep going. Like, I'd be like, no, we're getting the proton packs.
Yeah, let's do that.
And Brian, what were you saying earlier about this?
Well, the scene?
Yeah.
Well, about Winston?
Yeah.
Like, I hope that, like to re-edit this movie, make Winston a badass person with a proton pack, because he's not a scientist, so, like, he's not taking measurements, so just let him have a proton pack. Like, he just has it.
Because, yeah, he should just be, like, the guard there.
Yeah, because, like, he knows that they're going to be doing the science part, he's just a backup. Like, give him that, because he ain't doing science.
And later on, you see what happens to him when he tries to take a measurement.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, that's not his thing. Like,
yeah.
And it's okay if it's not his thing. Like, let his thing be something else. Yeah. Everyone has a role in the party.
Yeah.
Again, my only argument for it, probably as much for a actual filming issue as it is for a within this world's issue, which is the proton packs that they use are heavy as fuck. Yeah. So the actors did not enjoy having them on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure within the world, they don't want to be carrying that around through however long they'd be wandering through these tunnels. So I understand it to a point. And in fact, so, they decide to just go back and get them.
Here's a question.
But then the train arrives. Mm-hmm.
Here's a question. All right. When these movies came out, I had a proton pack.
Mm-hmm.
It was made of plastic. It didn't weigh nothing. You telling me by the second movie, they couldn't figure out a way to make a...
Fair point.
A prop proton pack that doesn't weigh anything?
A dummy pack for scenes where it's not really being used.
Right.
Just like...
Yeah. It's just got to be... They just got to have something on their back.
Could they? I'm sure they could. Did they? Apparently not. So, yeah. That's a fair point. Like, for this scene, you probably could have... Mm-hmm. You don't need to worry, especially most of the shots are going to be from the front. You don't need it to be lighting up. That's fair. But,
So, either way, Winston gets run over by a ghost train.
He does.
And this is, again, where I'm like, fuck the both of you, because Ray and Egon just bounce. They just go their separate ways and leave Winston right in the middle of the track.
To be fair, they are the first in... I think all of these movies that we've watched that actually know to go to the side of the oncoming vehicles.
That's fair, and that's good. But, like, if it were me and you guys were there, I would have been like, I would have grabbed you and pulled you with me.
Yeah, you
like,
would have stand by me moment.
I can't say.
Him, maybe not, but you two, yes. Yeah.
No, he pushed Rob like, the train goes back in front of the train. Or trip him so he falls down.
No, but in all reality, I would grab you guys. I wouldn't just be like, you're on your own.
It would be a moot point because the four of us would just immediately fall over in some awkward pile trying to get out of the way.
Clustered.
We're probably losing limbs. That's almost a given.
To be fair, once the heads popped up, we'd be done.
Yeah.
I don't think half of us would have gone down there in the first place.
Correct.
What it went, Winston. I'd be like, I'm sorry, I'm going to go.
Yeah. I'd be like, there is none of us here named Winston, okay. But I'm leaving.
Okay, also, though, just to be fair to the movie, when that happens, when he yells out hello and it calls back Winston, they do in fact say, we're done. He says, I'm out of here. That's when they start going back for the proton packs, but they get interrupted by severed heads.
Wait, this is not Winston's day. This is
No. So yeah, he gets run over by a train, supposedly some old train that derailed and killed a bunch of people.
I like when Egon comes back and they're like, you know, talking about the train and whatnot. And they're like, where's Ray? And they're all calling out for Ray. Like, oh, no, Ray's gone. And Ray's like, guys, I found something.
He can't hold shit in. Like, no. This comes out.
And in this scene, neither can Winston, because I'm guessing he crapped himself like 5 times.
I would have.
Yeah. By this point, he's actually out of poop.
But that would be funny if just Ray pops back like, guys, I found something. Like, oh, God. I'm just,
oh, so much shit.
Yeah, I just. I got
my boots.
Yeah. It's my boots. I got to stop, guys. I got to change this or something. I can't.
All right. So now they find the river of slime, and Winston goes to check the depth with his little gauge there, which should not be attached to his belt as well as it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it goes in, it pulls him in. That's not his day. No.
Nope.
And he goes right in. And finally, at least, the other two are like, we're not going to just leave him for once. So they go in after him.
That was nice of them. They jumped
in.
Yeah.
All right.
If they had left him, I would have been so pissed.
So now they come out by the museum.
Yeah. Seems that's where all the slime has been pooling.
Yep.
And when they come out, they find they're right pissed at each other.
Ready to fight.
Yeah, Ray and Winston are about to, you know, knock each other's blocks off and whatever when Egon's like, hey, guys.
Naked time.
Yeah, get naked.
Take off your clothes. This is natural reaction when there's that much slime around.
Well, he wanted to positively charge it.
Yeah. This is what I don't get.
No, Egon knows from first experience, like when the slime's on you, take your clothes off.
Yeah. Here's the thing. All right.
So good.
The slime is affecting their emotions. He's like, take off your outfit. So they do, and now suddenly they're fine.
Yep.
But their faces and their heads are still covered.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be your brain that would be like the part affected?
Just let it go. Just let it go. Yeah.
I would also argue that like soaked as or going in as deep as they did, they are soaked right on through. Like
Yeah, exactly. And, yeah. There's no way like that outer layer kept all the slime out. That slime gets in your
it's everywhere.
It's in your bones.
Yeah.
It's in your bones.
So
it's in all the cracks.
Yeah. We see things are going better for everybody else though. You know, Peter's making his moves in the restaurant. Janine is coming on to Lewis hard.
Hard.
Like, I forgot about what she did with the crystal ball.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that like she didn't just have her, you know, vagina straight up like magnified in the ball.
You know what? If it weren't for the real Ghostbusters, probably would have had. Like, well, here. No, Antipod's too good for that, I think.
Are we doing this or what?
Yeah. That's basically it. He's like,
basics instinct.
I'm going to sit over here. She's like, sit over here. It's like, you want to play Boggle? No, makeouts. Done.
No, I want a kid and wraps her leg around
him. She's straight up like, pump babies into me.
Yeah. Let's do this now. Yeah. Like, this is our first date. can we not?
So now, the slimy Ghostbusters crash into the restaurant. I don't know how they knew they were eating there.
Yeah.
I imagine Egon's probably installed a Venkman tracker.
I would argue that Peter has go-to places.
Yeah.
He looked like that type.
Well, but she asked him, like, are you going to use the same old moves on me? He's like, no, I have a completely different set of moves.
Which was a lie.
Yeah. And even still, they probably know him by now. They're not that new.
All right.
Although I do like the idea that, like, they went to 5 other restaurants just, you know, leaving a trail of slime everywhere.
So, they just crashed a date, slime everything. They're all yelling a bunch of stuff at once.
Yeah, they're like, we need to get to the mayor. We need to warn him about this, yada, yada, yada.
Cops come in.
Yeah, I don't fully, whatever.
They got involved.
Yeah,
I call the cops, too.
Yeah.
All right.
Three guys in their pajamas.
That guy has to leave several times.
Yeah.
They slimed one of his guests.
All right. But yeah, so they get pulled off to the mayor's office. And they're like, listen, mayor, you gotta do something here. We're all in a lot of trouble because New York people are just too angry. Mm-hmm. And it's like, what the fuck do you want me to do about that? Which is a valid point.
Yeah.
And they don't have a good answer.
Can't stop people from being an asshole.
Yeah. Like, be a dick all you want. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to tell you about that. But his little underling here.
We forgot to talk about him. Carl Fuller here of No Holds Barred fame.
Yeah. Yes.
Kurt Fuller. I'm sorry. When you see this guy, you're just like, I hate this man.
Yep.
That's what he plays.
Yep.
I feel bad because he's probably a nice guy, but you just hate him on sight.
Yeah.
He's just got that face.
So he's also the voice and his attitude.
So he drastically misunderstands the problem and thinks that these guys are going to go to the press, and then that's going to put the mayor's campaign for governor at risk.
It's because they threaten to go to the press.
Yes.
Right.
So... He's like, all right, I got a place where I could put you. You know, let's have you go hang out in the clubhouse here with Brian Doyle Murray. It's like, word.
And again, it's just well done with the, because it's just when said out loud, sounds so ridiculous. Mm-hmm. You would be put in a mental institution.
Yeah. Meanwhile, back at Dana's apartment, feels so bad for her in this scene. Because she's just sitting there and like, it's clear Lewis and Janine are not needed there anymore. They're just hanging out.
Yep.
They're at that point where, you know, they're sitting next to each other and they got a blanket over their lap, so you can't see what their hands are doing. But you know,
I just think it's funny because when Dana first shows up, like Lewis jumps off of what's her name? And in my mind, I'm like, he's saying in his head, like, Dana, I'm sorry, but it didn't work between us. Like, you know, you were possessed, I was possessed. Like, it wasn't a thing, but.
It was fun while it lasted, but then we turned back into humans.
Yes!
I found a new gatekeeper.
Yeah. But the weird
now
thing.
Now I just have to deal with Janosch.
So, yeah. My newest Lewis Tully. But the weird thing, like, this scene should have kind of been the other way around. Because, like, these two obviously want to get down to business. Mm-hmm. But, like, they can't because it's Peter's apartment, not hers. But, like, you know, she's staying there, whatever, and it's like, but she's saying, like, guys, go home and, like, do it like rabbits. I don't care. Just fucking get out of here. But you would think it would have been the other way around where, like, you know.
Well, Lewis can't stand up right now.
Well.
I mean, I wouldn't be able to either, shit.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So.
But, yeah, at this point, little Oscar feels a cold breeze coming in through the window.
Time to go walk on the ledge.
Yeah.
And I forgot how shitty this looks.
What part, Joe?
Pick one.
Where to start? Okay. I mean, it looks kind of scary when it's flying towards the building till you realize that that's Janosch. Then he gets the glowing red eyes, no reason, and the Stretch Armstrong powers.
But, like, he's dressed like
Mrs.
Like
Hellfire.
A nanny. Yeah, like a nanny, yep.
Mrs.
Yeah.
Hellfire.
Yeah, like an evil Mary Poppins or something.
He's got his own baby carriage there.
Or the nanny from The Omen or some shit. Yeah, and just so many whys. Just so many whys and hows. Like, is Janosch dead now? How is he a ghost?
He's astral projecting.
What?
Okay. Vigo's a powerful magician.
They're just like, he's at the museum now. Just move on.
Yeah, whatever. That's fine.
He's the Sorcerer Supreme.
And that's fine. I don't need... It's just weird choices is my point.
So she's like, I gotta go to the museum by myself.
Yeah. I'm going after my baby. So she jumps off and hangs onto an umbrella and floats over the museum or something. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
But since it's Janosch's face, she knows exactly what's happening. She knows exactly where he's going. I guess it's the point. But so she goes off to the museum. Lewis goes off looking for the Ghostbusters. Janine's just waiting behind, whatever. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But. What do we have?
So now she goes to the museum and she walks in, and right after she walks in, the door closes and slime starts oozing out of all of the orifices of the museum. All
right.
And seals it in a not that good looking shot.
Yeah. No. I mean, even like back then, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. No.
Oh, yeah. This looked pretty fake.
Like what they built to pour the slime over wasn't big enough. So it didn't scale right. And. Yeah, it was not good. So she goes in there and she's like, there's my baby. I'm going to go run and grab it. Hey, obvious trap. And Viggo's just like, Fosro da! And knocks her into the her little cell there.
Yeah, so like, are we filming a seal video here? What's with all the candles? Mm-hmm. I don't.
That's just how Janosch gets down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, so she's now.
And Viggo's like, I didn't tell you to do that, but I'm not going to tell you not to do that.
I like the mood.
Well, there's probably some subplot that would have been like the last movie that said,
yeah.
the museum was really built by these Carpathians to yada 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 blah blah blah.
Well, actually, we do technically get that for those that played the video game, but I'll save that for another.
So, yeah, now we get another montage where slime starts emerging from various cracks in the city.
And again, as young me, I fucking loved this so much. I loved it in the first one, too. I loved it here.
All around the city.
The coat.
Everywhere. All of it. All of it. Just like,
Rancor.
Yeah, monsters coming out of the woodworks. Like, this is awesome. We get that weird multi-eyed flying banshee spider thing coming out of the theater. Mm. We get a mink coat that comes to life and attacks the woman and runs away.
If only Dickless didn't shut down their container. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Mm. Wrong thing. If only they didn't really.
Lieutenant Weird Eyebrows here at the police dispatch is talking about the Titanic just showed up.
Yep.
And sure enough, it's unloading a bunch of ghosts.
Cameo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Better late than never.
Yep. Apparently that was originally going to be the Hindenburg, but guess they decided that was a bad idea.
Yeah. So now, the mayor's like, all right, this is crazy. The Ghostbusters are right. Where are the Ghostbusters?
Is this the part with the LaGuardia? Yes.
Okay.
Speaking of crazy.
So, well, what happened was, see, they was talking some crazy shit, and I was afraid they was going to, like, you know, mess up your campaign for next year, so I committed them.
Like, you're worried about them messing with my campaign. I'm currently going down as the mayor that literally let New York fall to hell or whatever. I forgot the line, but
so he fires him. He just tells some random schlub. He's just like, get this man out of here.
I know it works when you're the mayor. You do this. You
immediately want to fight him.
He literally, there's, you know, he's got his boardroom there. One guy is now just appointed the bouncer and has to throw that dude out, and the other one has to go get the Ghostbusters.
If this were mid-80s, he would simply just reach for the corporate pistol.
Pull that out. And, true.
Make sure Kurt Fuller left the boardroom.
Yeah, but so we get the Ghostbusters. We're back on our shit. We're lock, stock, and reloaded. And they're heading down to the museum.
They got a crowd now cheering them on.
Yeah.
We get out.
Hey, Ghostbusters.
Get their proton packs on. Gonna shoot some goo.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They fire at this candy coated shell.
Not yet. Yeah,
But it doesn't seem to do anything because it's hardened.
Yep.
Like an old gym sock.
All right.
Sorry.
So up until this point,
never mind.
Up until this point, this movie has some issues, but still a pretty solid movie. Pretty easy to defend. It gets hard to defend here.
Yeah, this is where it all goes wrong.
So they're like, "This isn't working. I have an idea."
You know what this franchise hasn't done yet? Jump the shark.
Yeah.
So let's take care of that.
Well, I mean, like, they need something that like people could get behind, like a symbol that you know
something pure.
Unity.
That's when one of them shows up dressed as Captain America.
Yeah, like a kaiju scene. You
know? Yeah, exactly.
Like yeah, kaiju raise scene. Some hopes.
I found a discarded panda tooth.
Yeah, you know how to really bring joy to all the people of New York? Just desecrate one of their most national landmarks.
All right. Problems. They're coming in fast and furious here.
Prepare. Okay. Gird your loins, audience.
Yeah.
Number one, Egon just knew he would have to
Why would you build dick things to shoot? Famous.
They showed him with it earlier in the movie.
They did.
Why? It didn't make sense.
He was having trouble getting voluntary participants in his experiments. So he was going to force some people's hands with that.
Shoot my goo all over.
Yeah, he realized he could now positively charge the goo, go to some bar, hit you with some goo, bring you back to his hotel, tell you it's a spaceship.
No, you're going to love him after he shoots that goo all over you.
Exactly.
That's what I try explaining to people. You're going to love me after I shoot my goo all over you.
Oh, dear.
Has not worked.
All right.
But for whatever reason, he knew he was going to need goo shooters, so he created these two.
Come on.
Now, look, I was the kid that loved this part, so.
Yep.
Even when I was a kid, I was like.
No, I was a kid that
I'm trying. Like, I think I forced myself to love it, but, like, my.
I was like, no, 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 don't well, you do it.
I was a kid that was in the crowd going, yeah! That was me as a
I'm
kid
pretty sure this. We used to argue over who had to have the slime thrower.
Yep.
Yeah, no one wanted the slime thrower.
Yeah,
like, you get that. Mm. We're going to get the more awesome things.
I was not as thrown off as I am as an adult, but like, yeah, I never was like, this is, yay, this is a good idea. I was like, what?
You're just going to be firing head and shoulders everywhere.
But that's another piece of technology, though, that like the commercial application was not fully explored. Because if you could just fire this weapon at somebody and then they go from like crazy about to murder someone person to like, hey, man, I love you.
Yeah, the police should have that.
Me in slime. Yeah, the police should just have that. Yeah.
Probably put that in the White House.
Instead of like, don't tase me, bro. It's like, don't goo me, bro.
Yeah. Wait. No, you can goo me.
Yeah. You have people acting up just to get gooed.
Just don't get it in my eyes, okay?
Or maybe people would just be, you know, self-gooing.
Yeah.
It's salty. No,
it's like, I'm having a bad day. Hose me.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, you had a rough day at work. You go to the bar. You get gooed.
I'm just seeing like this, like. Fancy, like, Armani-style commercial, like, black and white and all artsy with, like, a woman standing there. The guy's just got the goo cannon.
You're thinking of a Michael Bay film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Pick one.
So, so they go to the Statue of Liberty. They goo. It's all they wire it up with a sound system and a Nintendo Advance controller.
They just hose it down.
They hose it down. So bad.
I had a third-party one. It wasn't quite the same.
And they built it in a cave using scraps, apparently. Because they did it in five seconds.
Yeah, again. Well, yes. Oh, God. All right, first of all.
In fairness, he might have been planning to do this anyway.
Wait, hold on. 80s, right?
Yeah.
Radio Shack.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you need is there.
No, I'll give him that.
Like, they just gooed the guy at the counter. He's like, I love you guys. Here's a controller.
We're taking these things. You guys have to pay for those.
Yeah.
Never mind.
Would have been crazy 80s, I think, probably. Yeah.
Crazy 80s. Our prices are insane.
Possessing the Statue of Liberty, insane.
We're taking these things. You guys owe me a button.
You know what I'm saying? Like I've been doing these watching these YouTube videos about making foam cutters and all that shit. And like I'm at a point where like I wish Radio Shack was around because I could buy everything I would need at Radio Shack. Like right now, but now I can't. Like,
we can find it online.
Well, you could go to their website, but good luck with that.
No, I could walk into a store and physically bought one right then.
Have
like,
it now. Yeah.
So that was the joy of brick and mortar. But oh well. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it would have taken several hours to coat this whole thing down with slime.
Yeah, probably.
Second of all,
probably more slime than you're able to transport there.
Mm-hmm. You're setting up these wires. To do what and how?
Probably enough slime to make a river under this.
Okay, well, that's one thing, because anybody... Now, granted, all right, the first-person shooter was not around at this point, but anybody knows you need another... You need at least two control sticks, because how are you turning around? All you can do is go forward, backwards, and strafe left and strafe right with one control stick.
Mm-hmm.
You need another one to be able to actually alter your facing.
All right,
or a button.
That's how cop cars get stepped
up. Well, yeah.
But that's also assuming that, like, this is functioning with the video game that is intended to function with this controller. This is just a slimed-up statue.
Yeah.
What are you connecting this to? How is this functioning?
Now, hold on. Early in the movie, we had showed Ray was experimenting with hooking diodes and wires up to the slime to make shit happen.
Yep.
They showed it.
Now,
they were hooked up to his brain. I know, but
yeah.
I would imagine what's going on here is it's more because of the supernatural. It's interpreting what you're trying to tell it to do and just doing that.
Which is fine. And I know the answer to this question already is product placement. But then what we should have gotten was they slime this thing down, they connect the wires, and then they attach it to their head and use it like a Jaeger.
Mm.
Yeah, but then you just see them standing there with a hat on.
As you opposed to hanging out the window and just yelling?
Yeah, because
you
need to
be able couldn't to do that with a hat on?
No, not a shower cap. It looked a little too stupid.
Because they were worried about looking stupid.
Yeah. Listen, I'm just...
Did you not see the rest of this movie?
No, I understand his logic.
I'm not saying it's good logic.
It explains what's going on, but it doesn't make sense.
Fair. All right.
I'm not saying the filmmakers used good logic.
So even if you consider maybe that didn't make it to the final cut, but they needed it to look like they were doing something dynamic with using a joystick or something. They couldn't just stand there. And maybe they filmed them doing the joystick and were like, that looks stupid. Just hang out the crown.
What's the one where the video game where you just have to go for a walk, but you have to be hitting the different control buttons for right and left leg to get it to walk? Sounds
terrible.
Yeah, oh, yeah, and if you fuck up, it just falls over.
Oh, it's the worst. Yeah, it is awful.
Yeah, there's a couple different ones.
It's like, one like if you could walk like 50 feet in that, you're amazing.
Yeah, there's a few online games like that. I don't remember what they are now, but
so anyway.
Yeah, but so okay. Also, this statue apparently is just, it's now a living thing. The fire explodes, or I guess the torch neuralizer explodes. It can move like a human because it's shaped like a human, I guess. Whatever.
Its metal robe is suddenly cloth.
Yeah, why not?
It's already used to having Rey and Egon inside of it, so.
Yep. Okay.
I also mentioned that we're powering this thing with the power of positivity through this music that they're playing on a Walkman, which I stated while watching this, like, they would have gotten halfway through the bay and they would have run out of tape.
Mm. Well, I'd say the power of those four guys' boners at this moment is probably enough to keep it going.
All right.
But anyway.
To the point with the switch sides or put take two.
And plus, didn't you see on the Walkman, it said auto rewind.
Oh, did it?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, I did not see it.
So, you done with your problem?
No, but you can just jump in. Can I take a
turn?
Okay. Yeah, sure.
So, his feet ripped free from the mountings, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Therefore, those feet definitely have holes in the bottom of them.
Yep.
And even if they didn't, the Statue of Liberty is not a watertight structure.
Yep.
Like, as you walk through the bay, or through the, was that the East River? Or the Hudson. Either way.
Oh, river.
Water's just going to flood in there. It's going to drown out your speakers. It's going to wash away all the slime.
Yep.
And then you just put Statue of Liberty under a bunch of water. And that's it.
Plus, you're now in there with a bunch of open wires to whatever the hell you're holding.
Yeah.
So that can't be good.
No.
That was going to be my next point.
Also, you better hope she doesn't trip on anything.
And how is she getting out of the water?
I don't know.
Just let it go.
There's
just
not a
let. Enjoy. And just enjoy the symbolism. And just God, don't ruin it.
I am incapable of doing so.
Fuck, just enjoy the moment. Watching the touching moment.
Brian,
people in New York finally.
I was enjoying this movie until that happened.
Always naysaying.
Brian, this is what we're here to do.
You have been so mad. Like a Statue of Liberty walking by itself. God, cock ass.
You fucking shit.
I can do inward singing, Brian.
This has...
You sit in your tower and nap.
This is degraded. I'm
thinking inwards.
This has degraded.
Bottom line,
as you knew it would. Come on now.
This movie would have... I'm not saying this is a bad movie, but this movie would have been an unquestionable success had we done something different here. Now, it always has this stigma at the end.
You mean something other than the same thing you did at the end of the first movie?
Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it literally is the one of the big giant things.
Giant thing walking around stomping on cop cars.
I was going to mention this more with the wrap-ups, but like this whole thing is just a retread. Like,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Swap out Louis Tully for Janosch.
And you know, I'm okay with that. You got to try a little hard.
Yeah.
Correct.
But, and also the thing, like, I get... You're trying to get the city behind you. Although, again, I gotta imagine more of these people, especially if I'm assuming they weren't warned about this,
would
probably be shitting their pants, not screaming you on. But I'll put that aside. But, like, you couldn't just walk... It's the same slime. You couldn't just walk up to the shell, start playing positive music, and start a dance party?
Well, I think it was the amount of people that were singing along with it was what giving the strength to counteract the other slime.
But that's what I'm saying. Like,
it
just
was hard slime.
Ride through the street and be like, follow us, guys. We're having a party this way. Let's
New York. It's New York. And they're like, fuck you.
Yeah. Give me your wallet.
Just a random person saying, yeah, let's party. They're like, fuck you. Like a place to be.
Not a random person. I'm talking like the Ecto-1 comes down the street on the loudspeaker. Like, follow us, guys. We got awesome music. Let's go.
They'd be like, yeah, it's loud.
This doesn't make any sense, but I still would have liked it better, even if the positively charged slime produced some sort of Lady Liberty ghost from the statue, and that ghost went over and that broke the thing. I would have accepted that more than just walking the fucking statue over there. Again, it wouldn't make any sense, but you know.
But they only use it, like, they get enough positivity to make a little hole in the top, and then they smash their way through the window.
Yep.
Well, that's it, that part's still pretty badass.
Yes. Yeah. Although I also wonder, like, things worked out where Dana grabs her baby and runs off to a corner. Because if they hadn't done that, that baby would be dead.
Yeah.
Like, yes, it would. That glass would have taken that baby out.
But anyway, so I'm not done complaining about Statue of Liberty, but I am going to put it on pause because I have to go back to it later. So now they rappel down from the statue. They're in. And yep. Janosch is like, "Behold, Viggo!" And there's nothing there.
Like what?
What's the big deal? Johnny, that you backed a wrong horse.
Yeah.
Hose him.
They do. Like, why would you not switch to proton packs?
Oh, the moment I saw that thing, I was just... His ass would be proton packed.
Yeah, like what?
Janosch?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
We're not... He just stole a baby. His life is forfeit. Sorry.
Damn.
Not in the eyes of the law.
Yeah, I am joking, of course. The law doesn't know what went
on. I am the law.
That is a fair point. And that, you could probably claim anything, but
like you just believe stole me, the
those proton packs aren't leaving enough evidence behind. Yeah.
You just stole the Statue of Liberty. DNA, what like, law? You're not finding out
who that is.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, there's not even going to be teeth left to identify him.
Okay. Now I'm just picturing
there might be a shadow on the ground where he was.
But now I'm just picturing they fry him. There's just like this burnt skeleton left, and they just hose that and say, "Walk into the river. We'll see you later." Like, no one will find him.
All right. So okay. Obviously, we would not murder Lewis. I'm not.
Lewis Tully. That's
Lewis Tully. I wouldn't murder him either. Either way, Janosch the slime. He's out of the scene. But here comes Viggo.
Yeah, he's controlling some wires or whatever. He wraps up Dana.
He makes that weird like bendy tube that would be on a light come out the wrong end of a light.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know why that wasn't just the light's cord.
Yeah.
It's magic. I don't know.
You know, okay, whatever. It's like, oh, that's an attractive lady. Tentacle metaphor.
And let me just knock all the guys down because that's what we do. Also, since we brought him up, Lewis Tully now is strapped up in Ghostbuster gear and he's off to try and save them.
Riding the bus.
Does say this is really heavy.
Yeah. Getting on the bus that Slimer's driving because sure.
Mm-hmm.
And headed off to save the day.
Kids. Yep. For kids. Right.
Sure.
So then, Viggo, they give him the proton packs. He's like, whatever. Fusro does him again, paralyzes him.
He hits him with that Superman styrofoam thing in his chest.
Styrofoam ass, yeah.
And I still hold that if they had gone at him with four proton packs instead of two, it probably would have worked.
It certainly would have worked better than they did.
Yeah. So, Viggo snatches the baby. He's holding it up. He's about to win. When you cut to outside, and everyone's singing for Auld Lang Syne. Or whatever that song is. Yeah. I don't know. It's the...
Auld Lang Syne.
Yeah. The most annoying quest in Fallout New Vegas.
You are correct.
Yeah. If you don't look up how to do it on the internet, you're not doing it. So anyway. Sure. But if you look now, the Statue of Liberty fell over.
It's just laying there.
There's no way I'm singing some celebratory song after that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is how he rallied the people. Yeah. Just destroy their Statue of Liberty. Yeah. Plus,
it looks like 40 minutes into Cloverfield. These people are just singing around.
Plus, I gotta hope that crowd dispersed before the thing fell over, because I don't know when that happened. But
yeah. I mean, did it just gingerly lay down? I don't know. It's one of those ones where I'm like, why'd you put that in the shot? Did you just want the Statue of Liberty's face in the shot?
Possibly.
Probably.
Yeah. But, why didn't you just show the Statue of Liberty real quick, then show them singing?
Right.
That would have been it.
Well, yeah, it starts with them showing up through the window, which if you just left it where it was, its face was right there.
Yeah.
It would have worked fine.
All right.
But Viggo is deeply hurt by the singing because it's all positive. Like,
he is the Grinch. He's straight up the Grinch. Just listening to Christmas songs.
You know what?
Sung by the Who's.
Not very good looking. Doesn't like to have his picture taken. Doesn't like carols. I might be Carpathian. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Do you have laser eyes?
I haven't tried.
You know, if you played your cards right, you could easily get Eric to like just be like, "Behold, Tony!" Steal babies for you and stuff.
I've already managed to make him drive me around.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Wow. So now he's back in the painting. He's weakened. He's back in his... But now he's like a floaty head with devil horns and stuff.
The scene has changed now.
He's Dan Aykroyd from Nothing But Trouble.
Yeah, he pretty much is. And he's got like a Snapchat filter over his face.
Yes.
He's made of bratwurst.
Yeah. And then Ray's like, time to fight this guy in a staring contest.
Yeah, again, Ray is the weak link. Fucking, we're facing a demon god.
Yep.
Ray screws everything up.
Yeah, like he just can't. Like, he can't hold shit in. Like,
so Ray turns around. He's like, there is no Ray, only Vigo.
So they
juice him.
Yes, that was
they juice him.
They juice. Yeah.
So yeah, they hose him down. Vigo goes back in the painting.
And they just kind of shoot. Doesn't make any sense because this slime is like the source of his power.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Well, but this is the positively charged one.
Yeah, but this is so weirdly set. Like, because you were talked to it nice before, when you shoot it on pure evil, it would just make him weaker, not...
I could use this movie being an extra 30 seconds long just for Egon to be like, you know, Winston, you shoot Ray, the slime will kick Vigo out of him. When he goes back into painting, we shoot the painting with the proton packs. It'll do some techno bullshit, and he'll win. Because you're just like, why did any of that just happen?
Right.
How did any of that work?
You need to cross the streams moment.
Exactly. Or even if it's like, all right, when he goes back in the painting, me and Venkman will cross the streams, and that'll destroy him. Something like that.
I don't know if that would have saved it. I mean, that's basically what happens. They shoot Ray with the slime. So he's positively charged, which hurts Vigo, so Vigo has to retreat back to the painting. They shoot the painting with the proton packs, which I guess penetrates to his
a painting layer. Of an explosion happens.
Yeah. Whatever.
Why can't it just light the canvas on fire? And that's it. It just burns it down. And it's like, all right, we're done.
Because then you wouldn't have the after scene painting later.
Oh, what a loss that would have been. Darn. Which, the Statue of Liberty thing was just mind-boggling, but the true low moment is here. The villain defeated, we are standing in front of this painting, which has now been switched over to our four heroes, dressed in togas, cradling the baby.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just so stupid.
This one I gave a pass. The painting. I'm like, that wasn't funny, but whatever. It's on screen for a second.
I'm kind of surprised Winston got in it, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I half expected it to be like in Parks and Rec, where he's like the fat little baby in the corner or something. But anyway.
So yeah, they come back out and everyone's celebrating.
Now, mind you, while this is happening inside, outside, Lewis is
that's right.
The lone Ghostbuster with his proton pack shooting the shell of the museum. And like, as they defeat the bad guy, it looks like he got rid of the slime on the outside.
We get another bad special effect of it cracking and flying into the sky
real bad.
Wherever the fuck that went.
Yeah, it was real bad.
Like, again, it came out of the ground and then it just flew up to
It's space? In a different dimension. Stuff goes up instead of down there. I don't know.
It's a portal.
Yeah.
Everybody's happy. The day is saved. I guess Peter Venkman's getting lucky with Dana again. Mm-hmm. Probably. Whatever. Things are going good there.
They see later on you're at the Statue of Liberty now, and the mayor gives him the key to the city.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing a significant time later, because the Statue of Liberty is back up there.
Yep.
How the hell they do that?
They still have some positive juice left.
Yeah, I mean, okay, they got it over there. They could get it back there.
Well, Brian brought this up while we were watching it, but I would argue, from what we saw, all the slime floated off into space. So, do they?
But no, they had it in their canisters.
If it didn't fly off to space.
They've collected a lot of slime. Well, I don't think all the slime was purged from the world.
Okay.
Maybe that's the only reason, the only explanation I could accept.
Yeah.
Also, somebody rebuilt the torch.
Yeah. Well, we need to neuralize people again.
What's that?
France.
Yeah. France.
Yo, France, we got a broken statue. Got any extra torches lying around?
Hey, France, do you have another bulb to put in that the torch?
Well, in fairness, France is like, I know you Americans and break our statue.
So we got another bulb. They didn't call it France.
What did you do to this?
They called Victorn.
We kind of gooed it up and walked it to the city. Like, What?
Oh, did you also fill the statue with goo? We did the same thing before we gave it to you.
This goo? Anyway, what I did appreciate, though.
How dare you do this? All right, guys, hose them.
Another nice 80s staple in full effect here. The credits where it's an outtake from the movie.
Yeah.
You know, with the actor's name at the bottom.
All the unused footage and whatever.
That's just good stuff. I like it. I don't know why. I like it.
It's fine.
It's got something going on with the credits. You got to appreciate that.
Yep.
But yeah, and that's it. That's Ghostbusters 2 from 1989. Okay, so on RottenTomatoes.com, critics gave this a score of 53%. Audience gave this a score of 61%. That's their thoughts and opinions on it. What about you and yours, Joe?
That Statue of Liberty, man. I mean, I really love these characters, and I love the whole the ghost-busting thing. You know, I was cool with the River of Slime. I like Viggo the Carpathian. It had a lot of good parts, but that Statue of Liberty is rough. I'm still going to recommend this movie. It's a good movie. It just, its third act has some major problems. But that being said, though, like, it's still four, like, amazing characters, just some comedy heavyweights going at it there. You know, Dancing Toaster, it's a good time. So it is a recommend. But it's one of those movies where there's a certain point where you should kind of just stop watching.
All right. Rob?
Well, I'm not going to say it's a good movie, but it is a fun movie. It's definitely entertaining. Yeah, the Statue of Liberty is so awful. But thankfully, it's brief. So I will recommend it for many of the same reasons. It has some solid acting when the actors are acting and not just, you know, Bill Murray. Like, you can tell he doesn't care.
Oh yeah.
For a lot of it.
Checked out.
But everybody else is on point. Like, they're all doing their best. And yeah, overall it's a good time. It's an easily, like, watchable movie. So yeah, I'll recommend it based on that.
All right, Brian.
I still love this movie. Like, the for all its flaws, it still brings me joy watching it. So I will recommend it. Like, the Statue of Liberty part, you know, I know it bothers some people, but don't bother me. It's for me, it's the whole thought of people coming together and that kind of stuff. It's like, oh, it's touching. I like that. Like, you know, I'm game for that shit. So, like, I can suspend my belief for a minute to appreciate the touching moment of how they fight the evil slime with good slime, whatever.
Let it be known, the Brian's views about people coming together and hope do not represent the views of the 4 AM podcast.
Yeah, I know.
Almost half of us.
Yes.
There's enough. Most characters have something. Okay. Something they do something in the movie funny enough to warrant a like for me. So yeah, watch it. I enjoy it.
That just reminded me of the way you said that, of a funny line we skipped over, the point where they're talking to the mayor and they're like, almost 50% of us voted for you in the last election.
I was very intentionally.
Yes.
Yeah. Misquoting that line. Mm-hmm. Well, I wasn't misquoting it.
You were very intentionally trying to.
No, quote but that I just. Line. I loved the way he tried to spin that. Which basically one of us voted for you.
You know it was Ray.
Yeah.
But yeah. So I would honestly, I would say recommend. It definitely has its problems. Viggo is a bigger part of this movie than Gozer was, and yet so much of a weaker villain. Like, he doesn't really do anything worthwhile.
Viggo didn't really, or Gozer didn't really do anything either.
Well, she did what she had to do. She showed up at the end, threw some lightning, and became a giant marshmallow monster. Like, that's enough. Yeah.
It's true.
But... like, yeah, the Statue of Liberty thing, it had some other little issues here and there, but it's a fun movie. It's mostly just a retread of the first one, so if it's between the two, watch the first one. Like, there's no reason for this, but it's fun enough. So, yeah, if you want to complete the movies, go ahead, give it a watch.
You know what I think is a good point, though? I think its biggest flaw is I don't think it did any one thing better than the first movie.
No, definitely.
At all. And in that regard, it's one of those ones where you're kind of like, why should I watch this when the first one exists?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I can really think of is you've seen the first one enough and you want to see something slightly different. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, give this a watch. It's harmless enough. You're not going to be like insulted or want to tear your eyes out. But yeah, if you have the option, watch the first one.
I mean, that's like watching the cartoon as a kid. Like why I watched episode two when the first episode is this? Because it's a different episode. Like, so you watch it. So you just watch it.
But we're saying it's not really a different episode.
But it is a different episode.
Yeah.
Scooby-Doo. Every episode is the kids meet someone. Bad guy or whatever. And
I should amend my statement, say, in the context of me in my current 37-year-old form, I don't watch episodic things like that. Like, I was into, for example, like NCIS, and then I realized I'm like, every episode's the same friggin' episode. Yeah. So I stopped watching. Yeah. So I think as a kid, though, that's a very valid point.
Yeah. And typically only high people watch Scooby-Doo, so they can't remember what happened in the previous episode anyway.
What about Casey Kasem?
Casey Kasem.
Jeez, Scoob. I can't do that. Anyway, so yeah, we're basically recommending Ghostbusters 2. I would recommend, I don't know if I can anymore, but the game that came out for like Xbox and around that era, was a nice tie-in. If anyone hasn't played it, if you can, you should check it out. If you find video of it or whatever. But anyway, just throw that on as an aside.
For the Xbox and 89?
No.
This was,
I thought you said like for the Xbox.
They
like,
basically
what?
Took whatever was going to be Ghostbusters 3.
And they made it into a video game. Made a video game. Okay. That came out in 2010?
Something like that, yeah. They basically, they were able to get the entire cast to voice act it, though.
So. Okay.
That was this is as close as we're going to get.
Yeah, it literally ties everything together. It says that, you know, how the city was built on, you know, specifically to conjure ghosts. And, like, if you map out, like, one of the main plot points of the game, it makes a triangle with the museum from this and from Dana's apartment from the first one and so on. And, it's a whole thing.
And Kylo Ren kills Peter Venkman off.
Okay, don't, good. Spoiler alert.
Oh, sorry.
Son of a bitch. But it's set in the 90s, which also works for it because it's closer to this time. But anyway, so yeah, we're recommending Ghostbusters 2. So we got that covered. What else we got for the people here, Brian?
Set time. D20 of Fate. Make that roll. Who got to die? Who's rolling?
I believe it's yours.
Yeah, I think it is yours. Yeah.
My roll?
It is.
Word.
Ooh, make it good.
Conjure something good, Brian.
Give that thing a spin.
Let's get a 20.
Use that evil sorcery of yours.
Big money, no whammies.
It's a 4.
It's a 4. Let's see what we got.
That is not what we're watching.
Oh, Days boy. Of Thunder.
It is not. It is not that at all.
Uh-oh.
It's 1994.
Not good.
Angels in the Outfield.
No, definitely not good.
Good. All right.
It's a sad day when I would say time. I'd rather watch Days of Thunder.
Only a matter of time before it came up.
Nope. Yeah, I don't know. That's gonna happen. So, if you can gather yourself up here, Rob, or Tina.
I can't.
You good?
No. Are we gonna need to hose you?
Yeah.
Don't need to be hosed, thank you.
Trust me, you'll feel better. You'll love me afterwards.
That's what you said the last time. I just felt sticky.
All right. Well, if you can compose yourself long enough to let the people know what we got for them here.
Guys, we are so excited that you joined us this week for Ghostbusters 2. And we are even more excited that you're going to join us next week for Angels in the Outfield.
One of those statements is not true.
If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to our podcast. You can find our website at 4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can find all of our old episodes there, including what episodes did we reference today?
All of them.
Masters of the Universe.
Masters of the Universe, yep, that's on there.
No Holds Barred.
No Holds Barred, yep. Kid in King Arthur's Court, that's kind of Angels in the Outfield related.
Days of Thunder.
Days of...
We didn't
do an
episode on that.
Angels
yet.
In the Outfield is better than
King
of the
Sport.
I bet so.
That is not a hard bar to jump over. Not only, they didn't just lie the bar on the ground, they dug a hole and put the bar in it.
We have a new episode.
But it came out the same time, too, didn't they?
Every week.
I don't even know.
If you would like to sponsor an episode, you can also find information on the website about that. You choose what we watch. And, of course, help spread the word about the show by leaving a positive review on iTunes. and liking us on Facebook.
Tell your friends.
And Twitter. You can find us there at 4AM Podcast. And of course, if you'd like to email us, you can do so at the4ampodcast@gmail.com.
And just saying, we're going to have an anniversary coming up next year for this movie. Let's try and get that Snapchat filter where you can get Vigo on your face. Let's make it happen, folks.
That's your goal?
Yep. So, all right.
I say, since the augmented reality Ghostbusters game is coming out, let's petition.
Can you run around with bust ghosts?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That I can get behind.
Yeah, so it's... And so let's petition for slime throwers in that game. So you can just go around to other people and just goo them.
Wow.
Let's get that in there.
You know what, though? It'll help you weaken more powerful monsters.
There you go. There you go.
All right. Till then, we hope you all join us with... to Angels in... Yeah. We hope you all join us next week for Angels in the Outfield. Till then...
Deuces.
Later.
There is no Joe, only Vigo.
Death is but a doorway, time a window. We'll be back.
Vigo Mortensen.
Good.